took you. You were born with power.
I've got bad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. If you took a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's a low knee.
You're listening to the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGN.
Common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us: black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Monday, so therefore this is Mondays at 9. My guest this morning is author of A Bush on the Couch, Dr. Justin A. Frank, and I think it is time to get Bush back on the couch again, given the fact we have this speech that he's going to be giving tomorrow, the speech to the nation, the State of the Union. I think it's really critical that at this point, at this juncture, that we take a look at, before we let him take a look at our world, we need to take a look at him. And so we're going to do that this morning with a Dr. Justin Frank. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Dr. Frank, good morning.
Good morning. And good morning.
Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you here. I just really think that we just need to have another session here prior to this State of the Union address. One of the things that we talked about a little bit, and I'd like to just do that to help bring people into where you are. Talk to us about how it is that you can engage in an analysis, a psychological analysis of Bush, since you've never treated Bush.
Okay, I am a psychoanalyst, and there's a discipline in psychoanalysis called applied psychoanalysis, and that is application of psychoanalytic principles to studying the lives of famous people, of public figures, of historical figures that you would never have in your consulting room. And there's an intensive study that I did of President Bush over a two-year period where read everything he said, wrote, said about him, watched all of his press conferences, read the memoirs written by both of his parents, every bit of public information that was at all available, that was written about him by friends and other people, and then studying that, looking for patterns, looking for consistencies and inconsistencies in behavior, and beginning to think about what makes him function and what are the most important turning points in his life, and also what are the most important issues that he is continuing to have to deal with internally. And that's through the application of my psychoanalytic knowledge.
So when you...
And there's a one last thing. There's also a tradition for this that has actually been used now in the last 25, 30 years for political purposes, namely the CIA has a group of psychoanalysts who have been studying, doing psychological profiles of foreign leaders. I don't think anybody's done one quite in this much depth as I have of Bush, but they do them regularly, and they're used.
Well, putting on the psychoanalytic hat and pretending that you have George Bush on the couch, I want you to listen to something and tell me what comes to your mind as in your profession when you if you were to hear a client say this.
There can be some times where we don't agree with each other, but that's okay. If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just as long as I'm the dictator.
Now, he laughed. First of all, the client laughed when he said it.
Yes.
And what would your take, given what you have done in the study of his family, his mother, his father, what would you say about him?
Well, one thing is that the laugh, let's look at it from two perspectives. One from his history and his childhood, like you just asked about his mother and father and himself. And that we can do. And then the second is the actual process, namely the what he says and also how he laughs and how he deals with it. So let's look at the first one historically about wanting to be a dictator. He was the firstborn. He, when he was 7 years, when he was 3 and a half, he had a sister born, and when he was 7, that sister died tragically of leukemia. By that time, Jeb was a baby, and George was really left so almost out to pasture by his parents, who spent some time with him, but not very much. And Mrs. Bush, his mother, Barbara, concentrated on the next group of children. So if you read her memoirs, you'll see some mention of George, but life really begins in the family with Jeb, who is the new joy of their life after their loss of Robin.
And there wasn't even a funeral for Robin, and George didn't even know.
There was no funeral for Robin. There was no. There was a very brief memorial service. He was not allowed to talk. Not allowed to. I mean, there was no encouragement, and he was not to talk about Robin at home, so he was left to his own devices almost completely. There was
he didn't even know she was ill.
He didn't know she was ill, and then when he was knew a little bit about it towards the end of her life, but then he wasn't told till 2 days after she died that she had died. In fact, he was expecting to see her come home with them. They were up at Sloan Kettering, where she died in New York, and they came to fetch him at school when he was in the second grade, and Robin was not in the car with them. It's sort of how they deal with news, but one of the things that you can do as a firstborn to compensate for the injury and also your guilt and your confusion about things is that you can end up enjoying having power where you can have it. If you're feeling that helpless and powerless and bad about yourself and about your life, one of the ways you can compensate is by becoming a dominating figure over your siblings. And he used to boss his siblings around. He would, when he was a little bit older, he would shoot at them with BB guns. He would line them up in the hallway. I didn't even know about that when I wrote the book. I found out about that later when there was a tape of a lecture or talk that one of his brothers gave at an elementary school in Virginia, and talked about how Big Brother George used to shoot at them in the butt with BB guns. But he really...
Well, he kind of had a fixation about the whole buttal region.
He had a fixation about butts also, but we can get into that in a little bit. But clearly, what was so important was to be in charge and be the boss. And since he had trouble reading and trouble concentrating in school, and he was most likely a hyperactive person, he was still smart enough to compensate for those deficits by developing a very strong personality that was quite charming and quite sarcastic. His mother was sarcastic, and so was he. And so he ascended to a kind of forceful level of power in a way, even in Andover in his prep school, where he was a kind of local a kind of bully and a teaser and all the way through. So he liked to be
like
charged, and he liked to be a dictator in part because, not a dictator, but, you know, he did. He liked to be in charge. The other reason it was important for him to be in charge is that if he was a member of the group rather than the leader of the group, it would be very hard for him to think clearly. It's hard enough when he's in charge, but when he's in the group, he would get to be very loose and make random comments that really had no relevance to whatever the group's task was. And there's lots of evidence of that from the various boards that he sat on as on board of directors at various businesses when he was already out of school. So there's a long history of the need to be a leader. Now, the actual quote you played for me, my immediate response was noticing his nervous laughter. And
well,
my first thought is...
Let me play another clip for you, okay?
Cause sure.
Because I want to get that snicker in. Number 11, Howard.
Non-transparent regimes that threaten the security of the world should be allowed to gain the technologies necessary to make a weapon. And the Iranians have said, we want a weapon. And it's not in the world's interest that they have a weapon.
And we have that little nervous little titter in there.
Yes. A nervous titter and a nervous almost laugh. And I think that every time you hear that, at least listening, if he were in my office as you asked the question and was talking like that, I would wonder what it is that is... he's trying to either hide or that is making him anxious enough to have to laugh. And a lot of times you go to sometimes films in the most awkward situations, and sometimes a few members of the audience laugh, and it's usually because they're anxious about something. Something's making them nervous about what's going on the screen. I think he's very nervous about the truth in his statement, which is that he would like to be a dictator. And I think that he's nervous that he's going to be, that he revealed too much in that interview or in that, you know, offhand comment about himself, and that he was actually on the road to actually doing that. And certainly we've seen that borne out in his behavior and how he runs his cabinet meetings and how he has to be surrounded by people who agree with him and how the news gets filtered to him. So he functions almost like a monarch or a king who doesn't really know the realities of what's going on in the world, but really is fed news through his supporters and through his cabinet members. So if you are at all in disagreement with him, you are immediately cast aside. The question about the weapons, he's the one who likes having the weapon. And it's the same kind of thing. The little snicker that you hear and the little pause, again, it's very important to listen to him when he does that, because he's usually saying something about himself, that he's not to be trusted with a weapon of mass destruction, is what he's saying. That he is a dangerous person, and he's aware of it at some level. He, George Bush.
How does his relationship with alcohol, his relationship with other drugs, factor into his ability to stay in charge?
Well, alcohol is one thing that compromises judgment, and it does interfere.
Is he an alcoholic? Is he an alcoholic?
He is an alcoholic. He's an untreated alcoholic by definition, because he's never had treatment.
And so, in your experience with untreated alcoholics, what are the dangers?
The dangers are that they jump to conclusions. They're very suspicious. They have trouble tolerating anxiety, so they immediately have to get rid of anxiety and anything that makes them anxious. And people who have stopped drinking but haven't really treated their alcoholism, but they're not drinking, those are people who essentially have to find other ways to manage their anxiety. And they have several different anxieties. He has one major one, which is that he'd start to drink again. And everybody who's an alcoholic who stopped drinking is anxious about being afraid that they might start up again. But even more so for him, he has to find other techniques to manage his anxiety, and one of them, of course, has been this massive exercise program, another technique to manage his by dissipating his energy, getting rid of his nervous energy. And all of us who exercise and everybody who does some of that knows how good it feels afterwards and that there is a relief. With him, it's a much more desperate situation where he has to exercise all the time. Secondly, he has to have very brief staff meetings and very short duration, because if they're any longer, his attention will wander and he will get anxious and agitated, and then again he has to get rid of the anxiety. So he'll snap at people, he'll be irritable, he'll be difficult to deal with. Another way to manage anxiety, of course, is through religion. And if he feels that he's always on the right side of things by embracing his particular version of faith, which has to do with a sense of certainty, then that's also a way to manage anxiety. Another way to manage anxiety for him is seeing the world in black and white, good and bad. So all the bad things that happen are going to be caused by outside people, never by himself. So he can always see himself either as the good guy or the victim of some other bad guy. And that actually relieves anxiety, because he doesn't have the anxiety of indecision or of not knowing what to do or feeling that, oh my gosh, maybe I'm going to hurt somebody. He doesn't have to worry about those things. So there's lots of different ways he's learned to cope, but none of them have involved facing the anxiety or finding out what it is that is driving him so to have to get rid of it so dramatically. And I think that he never learned how to manage his emotions. There's a term, a technical term called affect, which means feeling, affect regulation. And the children, when they're very young, learn how to regulate their feelings through being calmed by their mother, through being responded to by one or both of their parents. When they're upset about something, they get, you know, a cuddle, or they get held, or they talk to, and it's a process that takes place over time. Well, he didn't seem to ever have that process happen. So there's no figure in his early life that he ever leaned on or that meant anything to him that we can detect. And so he was really left to find his own ways to manage his anxiety. Sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't.
And can I just want to jump in here for a second.
Sure, I'm sorry.
Can you tell whether or not, as a doctor, as a treating physician for someone with the issues that George W. Bush has, can you tell that whether or not he's drinking again? Can you tell whether or not he's using drugs again?
It's very hard to tell without really spending time alone with him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if I did spend time alone with him, I could tell pretty quickly. I think that from his public persona and his public appearances in the last few months, he certainly has seemed more agitated than before. He has that lower jaw kind of tremble and the circular movement that a lot of people, at least on the internet, seem to have connected with cocaine. I forgot what they call it. They have a name for it. And his at times he seems a bit disheveled and out of sorts, and those are the kinds of things that you might say, well, gee, maybe he's drinking again, maybe. And he's certainly been photographed holding glasses of wine, but who knows what's in those glasses.
I know that he's uses some of the no beers. It's been reported
he does say that he drinks no beers, and all no beers have a little bit of alcohol, and most people who work in AA and are involved with AA are pretty much opposed to the no beer beer, because they feel that it's a way of sort of giving a wink and a nod to not drinking but still being able to get a little bit of alcohol inside. That's a very controversial thing about whether or not that's a good thing or not. But I do think that there's no direct way to know. Sometimes when you think he's drinking, then he goes and gives a speech and he's completely in control and very clear and he looks fine.
Just because he's drinking doesn't mean that he's drinking every day, does it?
Right. Doesn't mean he's drinking every day, and it doesn't mean he's drinking. I just would not be surprised if he were drinking. There's no way to know for sure without really having an interview with him. I have felt for the longest time, and it's been, you know.
We need to take a break, Dr. Frank. Hold that thought, and then in addition to finishing up your thought there, I'd also, when we come back, I want to talk about the smirk. I want to talk about this
okay.
if we can. I'm Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9. I'm talking to author Dr. Justin Frank, author of Bush on the Couch. He is joining us from Washington, D.C. This is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
You've been listening to The Best of the Wake-Up Call. We'll bring you more of that following the traffic and the weather. Morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Hornbrooker with this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Account Thumbs. Northbound 55 from Richardson 270 looks good. Northbound 270 at 44 is on the move. Westbound 70 at Poplar Street Bridge. Traffic is going from the middle of the span into downtown. Westbound or northbound Route 3 at Poplar Street Bridge, no problems there. Westbound 64 at 5570 split looks good. Westbound Kingsbury Bridge traffic at Hoop Landing is on the move. Manchester, St. Albans, paving operations going on there. Eastbound 70 at Route 79 at traffic's building. Westbound 270 at 367 all the way into Washington Elizabeth looks good. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Account Temps, the world's first and largest specialized temporary financial staffing firm. Call or visit them today at accounttemps.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Mostly cloudy this morning, partly sunny this afternoon, high in the mid-70s. This evening, partly cloudy, low around the mid-50s. Tuesday, partly sunny, chance of showers in the afternoon, high of 80. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, high of 80. Currently, we have 56 degrees and partly cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of the best of the wake-up call. Liz Brown is out today. Irene J. Smith will be filling in for her beginning in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 920 AM, 5:30 Sunday nights. Sponsored by the Central Luangas.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm Amy Cammy.
And I'm Anita Green. Join us every Tuesday morning at 11 for our show, Awaken to Yourself, offering ways to improve, enhance, and enrich the quality of your life.
It's a fun show where we talk about taking responsibility to create the life you want. We encourage you to become aware that the choices you make every moment of every day impact your body, mind, feelings, and ability to share what you love with others.
This month, Awaken to Yourself is brought to you by the Scientific Arts Foundation and the Spa Sanctuary in Fenton. Join us Tuesday mornings at 11 right here on WGNU 920 AM.
Where the issue that matters most to us is you.
I'm Frank Scafidi, Director of Public Affairs at the National Insurance Crime Bureau. Becoming a victim of a tornado may be impossible to avoid, but you can avoid being victimized by dishonest contractors and adjusters. After a tornado, salespeople go from door to door in damaged neighborhoods offering cleanup or repair services. While many of these business people are honest and reputable, others are not. Educate yourself against unscrupulous operators. Get everything in writing. Demand references and check them out. A catastrophe greatly magnifies the opportunity for fraud. Don't be tempted to conspire in an insurance claim. Insurance fraud is a felony. For more tips about avoiding disaster fraud, visit the NICB website at www.nicb.org. To report disaster fraud, call 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB.
Hi, this is John Womack. I host On the Table Tuesdays at noon. I have a bachelor's in culinary arts from Johnson & Wales University in Providence, Rhode Island, and about 5 or 6 years' experience as a catering chef. Gil joins us on occasion. He's a sporadic guest host, and Gil is another chef with us with Patty Long Catering. We talk about food and wine trends, restaurants, recipes. Occasionally we have guests join us, chefs, other restaurateurs, wine experts, and food enthusiasts. So tune in. My name is John Womack. I'm the host of On the Table on Tuesdays at noon here on WGNU 920 AM.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences, with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours a week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's LIZZ. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Irene J. Smith will be filling in for Liz Brown beginning at 7 o'clock this morning. Liz is out today, so we're going to bring you more of the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Our guest this morning is Dr. Justin Frank. He is the author of Bush on the Couch, Inside the Mind of the President. Dr. Frank is joining us from Washington, D.C. And Dr. Frank, I wanted you to finish your thought.
Well, I will finish my thought, but I just have to respond to the two clips you just played.
All right.
One was about saying that just because he's had his picture taken with Abramoff doesn't mean he knows him and he doesn't know him, and he's had his picture taken with lots of people. And the second thing he talked about was using all the tools available at his disposal to fight terrorism, which includes wiretapping of citizens. Well, the reason you wiretap people is because you suspect that somebody might know somebody else, and you wonder what's going on with their connections. In other words, he's saying, I'm exempt from that kind of behavior, but basically he is wanting to incarcerate people, imprison people, investigate people based on suspicions that they might be connected one to another. And yet when there's a public photo of him taken with somebody who is clearly probably going to become a felon, convicted, he really says that doesn't count. And I think that this is a good example of what a lot of people who are not psychoanalysts will call just very simple hypocrisy and double speaking.
And what would you call it?
Well, I call it projection, which is that he attributes his own guilt to other people, so he doesn't have to feel guilty. So he's going to be busy listening to everybody else's conversations, when in fact it's his conversations that are causing all the problem. He's the one who says, find a way to justify the war in Iraq. find a way to justify torture in Abu Ghraib or in Guantanamo. Find a way to wiretap without having to present it to the courts and ask for a warrant. Find a way to get rid of treaties and not pay attention to Kyoto.
But he was kind of a mean little kid, though, wasn't he?
He was always a mean little kid.
Talk to us about some examples that illustrate what type of a child he was.
Well, he was a mean...
And what kind of a man?
Well, it's a very complicated thing in a way, because he was both a mean little kid and was a popular kid because he was funny and charming and yet could be mean. So what would happen is when you are confronted in a situation like that and you're one of his friends, it's very important to always stay on the good side of him. Never be a victim of his teasing or his cruelty, because you never want to have that laser attack or wit or focus, whatever you want to call it, aimed at you. So you end up becoming much more complicit with his behavior, and you laugh a lot at his jokes the way people laugh at a mafia king's jokes. You know, you sort of laugh because you have to. If you don't laugh, you know, he'll say, why aren't you laughing? And then you'll be in trouble. I think that there's that kind of evidence as a child. And then he would show and reveal his cruelty early on. When he was 10 or 11, he used to stick firecrackers into frogs and blow them up. Later on, and he would love doing that. And later on, and he had some friends who would watch him, and that was written up by one of his friends. I read in a Texas newspaper, and in a joking way, which I don't find terribly funny. Then when he was...
Well, if a parent brought a child in to you saying that my child is sticking firecrackers up, it's either the mouth or the rear of a frog, and blowing them up, would you say that child needed treatment?
Yes.
All right.
Right away, and that child specifically would need treatment both to help manage his behavior, and that may include medication, and he would also need, that child, he or she would need, usually it's a he who does those kinds of things, would need treatment to try to get through to what it is that he is so full of hate about and so full of murderous feelings about, because usually when somebody does that kind of cruel behavior as a child, in my experience, they are usually attacking a part of themselves that they hate. Mm. In other words, they're unconsciously attacking a weak, defenseless part of themselves and having domination over it by destroying it. And it has to be done repetitively over and over and over again. That's why he can never relax. That's why he has to spy on Americans. That's why it doesn't matter what's happening. He is always going to be suspicious and need to surround himself in safe places.
He was the
head of a fraternity, pledge master in his fraternity in his senior year, and he used to brand pledges with hot coat hanger sticking on their buttocks and making a scar, and that caused such a stir.
It was a particular place on the butt, though, as well.
Well, I can't remember. It was like right at the crack, at the top.
Exactly.
Of the crack.
Exactly. Exactly. So it wasn't on the fleshy part of it. It was right there at a very, very, very sensitive place.
Right, where it would be very painful. I mean, not that it wouldn't be painful somewhere else on the butt.
But it would be particularly painful there.
Particularly painful. And this is something that is, he's really an expert at finding where it is that'll hurt the most. And he does this verbally, and he can do this physically.
And
he has a long history and a long pattern of this. In other words, it's one thing when you see somebody do it once or twice in their life, and then you don't see it again. You pay attention to it, but you don't worry about it. But when you see them do it in a repetitive way, you know they're going to be doing it for the rest of their life unless they're treated.
And let me get to a question from one of our callers here.
Sure.
You have a question for our guest, Dr. Justin Frank. Gary.
Yes, Dr. Frank, I'm wondering, because of your Democratic connections yourself, could it be that you're attacking the message? I mean, you can't attack the message, so you're attacking the messenger?
Thanks for your question, Gary.
I am a Democrat, and I am very concerned about what the direction that our country is going in. At the same time, I've never been frightened about a president's competence and his ability to think and function. this is a different kind of thing from, I've never felt, I'm over 60 years old, I've never done an in-depth psychoanalysis of a public figure before because I've never felt so frightened by a president or by a leader. And there have been other leaders I've very strongly disagreed with. Usually they're Republican leaders like Reagan and Nixon, but I've also disagreed with Johnson on Vietnam, and I thought he was quite grandiose. So I'm not like singling out somebody in order to support my political beliefs. There's no way I can divorce myself from them, but it's been a constant effort for me in writing the book to be as fair-minded and straightforward as I can, because as a psychoanalyst, I treat all kinds of people who have very different points of view about the world, about marriage, about their life, about relationships than I do, and my views aren't necessarily the right ones, and so I have to actually put mine aside and really pay attention to them. And that's an ongoing struggle that I have as a psychoanalyst, and I do it regularly, and I've been doing it for 30 years, and I did it in this book also. What is the issue with him is it's not so much about the message, it's about how he behaves in certain ways that are very disturbing. They are...
Is it also, if I may interrupt, Dr. Frank, is it also because George W. Bush now has the opportunity to stick the firecracker up the butt of the world?
Well, I think that that's a very interesting statement, and one of the things that has been happening in terms of the butt of the world, he certainly has stuck it up the butt of Baghdad, and he has certainly bombed the heck out of Baghdad and not really done much to rebuild it, and despite what he says and the recent reports that have come out in the last week, even by the Pentagon and by various other researchers, are saying that the infrastructure is really bad, and the contract people who've been trying to work there to rebuild Iraq are leaving, and that we don't have any way of dealing with the insurgents, et cetera, et cetera. This is a guy who is fundamentally a destructive person.
And give us some examples of the destructiveness that you have observed through your research and your analysis.
Well, he can be destructive in the simplest of ways. For instance, at a press conference, there was a guy named Jack Smith, who was a radio newsman, who was invited to be in some of the TV press conferences. And he said at one point to President Bush, when he was asking a question, "Thank you for having me here. I'm normally on the radio." And he said, Bush says, "You have a perfect face for radio." And everybody laughed. In other words, he's too ugly to be on television. This is a constant capacity of his to put people down, to make fun of them. In terms of being destructive, he now does it in a very specific way, which is very interesting to me, even though it's frightening, and that is he does it through indifference. For instance, how slow he was to respond to Katrina, how he turned his back on the plight of so many people there, how he then goes down there for various television photo ops and makes these speeches but doesn't even view the destruction. And it turns out he knew that the Levees weren't going to hold, and yet he says in public, who would have thought this could happen, when he actually had something written out and handed to him a few days before that
who
it
would have
happen.
Thought that somebody would have taken a plane and driven it into a building?
Right, when he knows about it. So his way of expressing cruelty and destructiveness has changed over the years and become much more sophisticated. However, when he's in a political fight, the way he expresses it is through allowing it to happen by telling other people to do it. So, for instance, he never, when the Swift Boat attack on Kerry happened during the recent campaign, he never said anything about it. He let it go on and on and on, and never intervened.
And we have to take a break.
Okay.
I'm talking to Dr. Justin Frank. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my back. Stay with us.
If there is corruption, I'm not surprised that people say, let's get rid of corruption. If government hadn't been responsive, I'm not the least bit surprised.
You're listening to the best of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Irene J. Smith will be filling in for Liz beginning at 7 o'clock this morning. We'll have more news, traffic, and weather at the top of the hour.
This is the Reverend E.L. Sims, the pastor of the Grace Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church, located at 2601 Marcus. If you want to hear the true, unadulterated Word of God, I invite you to join me every Saturday morning. God speaks in a mighty way, and He has a message of salvation that you can't afford to miss. So listen every Saturday morning for the Grace Tabernacle Radio Ministry at 9:30 right here on WGNU.
Hey, WGNU listeners, this is Keith Gray from Higher Ground. You can hear me from 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. I look forward to talking to you folks.
Need to get it off your chest? 314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. The cure for the common cause.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger. Defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Did you know there's still time to be the hero where you work? That's right, you still have a chance. Stop in today. Drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard, and you could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. We've drawn a new winner each week and made Workplace Heroes every Monday. We delivered a basket full of assorted goodies from Great Harvest Bread, Thomas Premium Blend Coffee, and WGNU Radio. There's still time, but you have to hurry. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. Employees and family members of WGNU Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. Come on. Be a hero. You know you want to. That's the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard, just west of the Innerbelt. Leave a business card, and that's it. You're on your way to being the next WGNU Workplace Hero. Sponsored by the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Premium Blend Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Now back to the best of the wake-up call. Irene J. Smith will be filling in for Liz beginning at 7 o'clock.
Also had pictures with thousands and thousands of people. And I mean, people, it's part of the job of the president to shake hands and with people and smile. And I do.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Dr. Justin Frank. He is the author of Bush on the Couch, Inside the Mind of the President. And Dr. Frank, how well is this, how good is this book doing?
Well, my book was doing pretty well, despite the fact that it didn't get a lot of support from the publisher. It was actually sold, it was a bestseller for a while in 2004 when it came out, and it's been reissued in paperback this past summer, and with a new epilogue that carries us through the beginning of 2005, goes through the 2004 campaign, the primaries, the debates, the election, and then the State of the Union from a year ago. So, and it's doing well as a paperback, and it's being translated into different languages and published, and lots of people are very interested in it. And
well, when, can I? We only have about 8 minutes.
Oh, I want to. I know you want to ask something. Just a couple. You play these great quotes, and I just have to say again, you repeated the Abramoff one, and I think that one of the things that was important that I was noticing and listening to at this time was how much the press laughed at his jokes and at his statement. Well, I have my picture taken with you, and I don't know you. Well,
what is my job to shake hands and smile?
I wonder if the press themselves are as gullible or as stupid as they appear to be. I just can't believe that everybody is. But they really go along with him in a way that is so deferential, it's quite disturbing to see. Plus, his attitude towards them is the attitude he has towards the rest of us Americans. And he said it, if you can find this quote, which he said in Quincy, New York, on May of last year, he made a comment, which I have right here. It said, "See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in, to kind of, this is an amazing phrase, catapult the propaganda." But basically, that's what he does. And as far as the other things, I'm responding more slowly in some ways because there's so much to respond to in what you've asked. One of them was about evidence of his destructiveness. I thought, I don't know if you've read the new book that just came out by James Risen from the New York Times called The State of War. He's a reporter for the Times. And if you get a hold of it, it's worth it. If you can get him on your program, he's really just very knowledgeable. And he made a comment at the end of his book, which I have right here, which just came out this last month, that he said that one of the most damaging legacies of the Bush administration has been the militarization of American intelligence. And what he has done, what that means is that George Bush has single-handedly put the CIA under the control of the military. When the CIA was established, the main reason it was established the way it was by Truman in 1947 and Congress was to have it separate from the military, and that it was very important to have intelligence, but to not always think that the intelligence was only going to be used for military purposes, but we might have ways of negotiating treaties, might have ways of understanding people without necessarily relying on military solutions to all our problems. Well, what Bush has done is he has virtually destroyed the credibility of the CIA and destroyed it in many ways and has put it under the arm of Rumsfeld. And these are very destructive things that are happening domestically. And what I'm thinking about him being destructive, he's just destructive of a lot of American values in terms of our attitude towards human rights, and yet he tolerates all this torture, our attitudes towards the importance of the rule of law. He says, well, laws are only important if they if I can circumvent them when I need to. He doesn't feel that we need to hold to our word, which is very un-American in my experience. Usually when an American speaks, especially to foreign countries, you can usually take them at their word. Well, with him, you can't. He says, well, there's weapons of mass destruction, there's this, there's that. And then he just lies about things. He doesn't... It's a very frightening thing.
And we have about 7 more minutes here. Great. I'd like to get to the relationship with he and his father.
Okay.
Because I've read stories, I've read reports that he and his father are no longer speaking, that they go to family events and they don't say anything to us. Give us a brief breakdown of their relationship.
Well, my sense is that the term breakdown you give is actually what's happened. I think there is a breaking down of their relationship.
You've been listening to the best of the wake-up call. Liz Brown is off today. Irene J. Smith will be filling in for her beginning at 7 o'clock. Until then, We take you now to the top of the hour news right here on AM 920 WGNU.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
From ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. The 2006 Atlantic hurricane season, less than 2 weeks away, and today the experts will tell us just how bad this one could be. Here's ABC's Pam Coulter.
With the predictions about to come out, new data has many scientists convinced global warming is making hurricanes worse. And Greg Holland of the National Center for Atmospheric Research says some want to make it official.
This potential increase in the most intense hurricanes has led to some debate about whether we need a Category 6.
Last year, the Weather Service predicted 12 to 15 tropical storms. There were 28. It also predicted up to 9 would be hurricanes, and there were 15. Pam Coulter, ABC News. Washington.
The morning commute is just getting underway in Northern California. It's a wet one. It's been raining for almost 24 hours, and this man in Alameda's had enough.
It was just monsoons, just like coming down buckets. It was crazy.
This man, rain, is not good for some seasonal businesses in the region either. He's up and walking, but it looks like Barbaro's racing days are over. Equine veterinarian Dean Richardson operated on the Kentucky Derby winner yesterday after he broke his leg in two places during Saturday's Preakness.
I wish I could say his chances of survival are very, very high, but this is a very serious injury.
Barbaro's owners are hoping his stud value hasn't gone down that much. For the first time in 3 months, we're paying less for gasoline. The Lundberg survey shows the average price of a gallon nationwide down about 1.5 cents to $2.93. British Prime Minister Tony Blair is in Baghdad today. He's meeting with the Prime Minister of the new Iraqi unity government, and he's hoping that it'll do all that it can to end the ongoing violence.
There is now no vestige of excuse for people to carry on with terrorism or bloodshed.
President Bush will talk about the new government in a speech that he'll make today in Chicago. Well, the critics didn't think too much of it, but moviegoers put the Da Vinci Code over the top. The movie made $77 million here in the U.S. in its opening weekend. This is ABC News.
Aflac for Small Business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my, my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Two.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Remember the last time you replaced your ink cartridge? Then come in to Office Depot. Office Depot has over 400 ink and toner items in stock. Plus, save up to 15% on multi-packs or save up to 15% on Office Depot brand ink versus the national brand. Office Depot never runs out of ink. Neither should you.
If it's safe to enter, investigators could begin work today on trying to find out what caused a deadly explosion Saturday at a Kentucky coal mine. 5 miners were killed. Autopsies show that 3 of them died from carbon monoxide poisoning. Planned Parenthood is trying something new. Here's ABC's Chuck Stevenson.
Shoppers at an upscale mall in St. Paul, Minnesota, between a financial services center and a Mexican restaurant, will soon find a Planned Parenthood fast service clinic. It will not perform abortions, but will sell lotions, essential oils, birth control, and do pregnancy tests and screenings for sexually transmitted diseases, all in about 20 minutes. It might add massages and other spa services later. Planned Parenthood's offering fast services already in California, Massachusetts, Iowa, Ohio, Illinois, and Alabama. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Maybe a shot of Botox could put a smile on your face. The LA Times says the wrinkle relaxer was shown to ease symptoms of depression in a small study. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Here's a WGNU News update brought to you by TomTom. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news, police in Jennings are looking for suspects in the fatal shooting of a teenager. The victim, identified by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch as 16-year-old Marquis Payne of Blackjack, was shot Friday night at Jennings Station and McLaren and died later at the hospital. Police have not released any details on suspects or possible motive. Elsewhere, a Peavely man is dead after a motorcycle crash. The Missouri Highway Patrol reports 23-year-old Dave Glass collided with a car that was crossing Highway 67 at Victoria Road late yesterday morning. Glass was airlifted to a St. Louis hospital where he later died. The driver of the car was not injured. And a single car crash in South County kills a 23-year-old St. Louis man. Joseph Biggs lost control of his car early yesterday morning on I-55 near Mattis Road, hit a rock bluff and overturned. Biggs was pronounced dead a few hours later at an area hospital. Famed dancer and part-time East St. Louis resident Catherine Dunham has died. Dunham passed away Sunday morning at her New York apartment. She and her Dunham Dance Company brought African and Caribbean influences to prominence in modern dance. A museum and SIU Edwardsville's Catherine Dunham Center for the Arts and Humanities, both in her part-time home of East St. Louis, are named in her honor. Catherine Dunham was 96 years old. And finally, federal officials are hoping victims of an alleged identity thief at the American Red Cross will come forward. Former Red Cross employee Lynetta Chanel Medcalf is awaiting trial next month on 3 counts of aggravated identity theft and 1 count of credit card fraud. Medcalf allegedly used information from donors to open at least 3 credit card accounts. People who believe they may be victims are asked to call 1-866-908-7747 to report the fraud to the U.S. Attorney's Office by June 30th. And that's a report of WGNU News brought to you by TomTom. TomTom Go is your portable everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Westbound 44 to Viaduct in Pacific is closed due to a lane switch. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason. Expect normal traffic. Westbound 40 from McCausland to Hanley looks good. Eastbound 70 from 79 all the way to Middle Rivers Mall. Look for traffic to be building. Northbound 270 at 44 in Marshall. Look for congestion there. Northbound 55 at Richardson and 270 looks good. And all your approaches to the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect some slowdowns this morning. As well as eastbound 30 at Mauer Drive, there's a report of, and 270, there's a report of stalled traffic going on there. Russell at Gravoy, there's a report of an injury accident. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Play the Illinois Lottery, set for life, 6 new instant games, $200 million in total prize available prizes, plus a second chance drawing. Illinois Lottery, have a ball, play responsibly. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, look forward to mostly cloudy skies in the morning, then partly sunny by the afternoon, a high in the mid-70s. This evening, look for partly cloudy skies with a low in the mid-50s. Moving on to Tuesday, partly sunny skies with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, a high around 80. Then on Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies with a chance for showers and a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 56 degrees and partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 57 and clouds as well. Liz Brown is out today. Instead, we have Irene J. Smith, the nice lady. She's on up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Sleeping in bed, no more back for thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. World won't get no better if we just let it be.
All right. Good morning. This is Irene J. Smith. This is the Morning Wake Up Call. I'm sitting in for Liz. They finally got her. She has jury duty today. You know, the law was changed some time ago, so those of us who are attorneys who have historically not had to do jury duty now have to do it. I took care of my duty last year, and today, this week, maybe just today, or maybe all week, Liz will be taking care of her civic duty. It's a beautiful day outside. The sun is shining. The breeze is cool. But it's a very, very beautiful day. And yesterday was a beautiful day as well. I just enjoyed myself so much at the festival at the park. Some people who had never ridden a horse got an opportunity to do so because of the African-American cowboys who were out with about 30 or 50 horses. It was good seeing the babies doing the boat rides, as well as family. It seemed to be a very family-like atmosphere. You know, everybody found a shade tree. I saw one brother, he had bought his television. I know it was some game or something that he wasn't going to miss. He had bought his generator. He had bought a 19-inch color television, and he was watching television. So a lot of folks from Old Beaumont. I saw a lot of folks from Central and other high schools at the festival yesterday, and it was good. It was really, really good. I sincerely enjoyed it. I got a chance to see my nephew that I see often anyway, and my sister and my brothers. And I hope those of you who had an opportunity to check out the vitamin water that we were giving out, I hope you like it. And we want to thank Monique for providing us with that opportunity. I certainly appreciate it. I know the St. Louis Fire Department, who we dropped off 4 to 5 cases of it, appreciated it, and we're handing it out. We saw the bottles all over in people's hands, all over the park. And I really want to just send a shout out and a thank you to, in particular, Bernice Jones King. Sometimes when there are changes and people are critical and may not support the position that you are taking, but you just step on out there anyway. So I think that the community that that did not support the move of the Animal Lawn Parade downtown and just wanted to be able to walk to a spot. I commend Bernice for having the foresight, as well as those who supported her, Charles Quincy Troop, and it's my understanding Freeman Bosley Sr. as well, helped sponsor the first African-American Heritage Festival in the park. But I did want to send out a special shout out to Alderwoman of the 21st Ward, Bernice Jones King. It seemed like it was a feast for, to some sort, kind of a captive audience for a number of people who are running for office. It seems that, in particularly, the 4th senatorial seat. I saw signs from Yaphet El-Amin, Amber Borkins. I think Jeff Smith was even there. I liked the way that Amber and Yaphet El-Amin, they were moving around, talking to people. Representative El-Amin, I saw her. She had her baby, you know, in the stroller. She was out. It was a beautiful day. She and her family were out. And, you know, say all the same thing with Representative Amber Borkins. I passed by Jeff Smith's stand, and the people were just kind of standing there, and perhaps he was out greeting the crowd as well. And so that was a feast day, as I said, for the candidates in the 4th senatorial seat, and I'm sure somewhere among the crowd, former Alderman Kenneth Jones was out campaigning as well. Also, the 57th senatorial seat seemed to be a hot spot. I saw several people, Talladega El-Amin. I saw a big sign I saw May, so I'm just going to assume that it wasn't Alderwoman Perry Mater, but it was her daughter who was also running in the 57th district. Did not see, maybe later, maybe it came later, did not see anything from Joe Palm. And then there was the 60th district, and I guess the only representation that I saw, at least during the period of time that I was out there, which was for a couple of hours, was Sean Sims, who was running in the 60th, and of course Jamila Nasheed, who was out there, and you couldn't miss her, you know, with her car that's wrapped with the campaign slogans and with the number of wards that go through her district. And she was out. She was out greeting the crowd. And she said that was the place to be. She wanted to be where her constituents were, and there was certainly a lot of our people that were at the festival. According to the paper this morning, it seems that there were several thousands at the Animal Lawn Home Day Parade, and it seems that from the projections that I obtained from several sources, one elected official by way of someone, but I won't mention that individual's name, they didn't want to be mentioned, said maybe it was about 30,000 people. And, you know, going from 100,000 people down to 30,000 people is certainly does not reveal much of a success. I talked to one of the young people who participated in the parade and has for the last couple of years, kind of disappointed that the parade was downtown because a lot of her neighborhood folks don't have transportation and didn't get an opportunity to see her perform. But she had the feeling, she said, Miss Smith, she told me and her granny, she said, I don't know that we'll be back downtown. She said it wasn't quite as crowded. It certainly was a lot of elbow roaming. We know along Natural Bridge it got pretty crowded. There was always seem a family mix of people. And another thing, relative to the festival, and they tried to make it the festival versus the parade, it was an option. It wasn't a competitive thing, so to speak, although in one sense it was competition because they were on the same day at the same time. However, it gave people from the neighborhood an opportunity to participate on something that was traditionally set aside as, you know, the annual May Day Parade, Animal Lawn Day Parade. So it gave them an opportunity to come up. But I think it needs to be said that all of us that are from the African-American community and others love the Animal Lawn Home
and have provided funding and money, you know, sometimes anonymously or through someone else's name, but have supported that home throughout the year and will continue to do so because it provides a fantastic service to our community. But on the other hand, you still have to understand that as a result of the fact that for years, our community has supported that parade because it is our parade. You know, it's something that belonged to the African American community. Now, it doesn't mean that it can't be shared with others, but it's certainly our parade, and have supported that parade for years, ever since its very existence. And the only way that you make money doing parades is that, you know, if you have a float, if you're an elected official or you're a corporation, you're trying to push your product, you want to have a lot of people there. So it's going to be interesting to see. You know, this has created somewhat of a rift. People disagree. There were some people that were upset because the festival was even planned. But, you know, we have to sometimes agree to disagree. And we disagreed about the move. We thought it was disrespectful to our community. Every year when the Animal on Home Day parade would be planned, letters would go out to the aldermen whose wards the parade would proceed down, you know, asking for their support for the parade. Of course, every alderman always gave their support for the parade from the 22nd, the 1st, the 21st, the 3rd, on, you know, a little tinge of the 4th. Everyone always gave their support for the parade. So I think that, you know, people can kind of understand why people would be somewhat upset with having to learn about the parade's move from reading it in the paper, you know. And it to me, it did not seem that the organizers of the Animal Lawn Parade did a good job in terms of getting the message out that the parade had been moved. I mean, we had several individuals that came over. And yes, it was in the paper. I'm not saying that it wasn't. That came over saying, you know, where's the parade? And, you know, you want to say, well, where have you been? But it's one thing for sure. It is history at this point. I think each set of individuals, whether you went to the parade, and some people went to the parade, left the parade, and came to the festival, you know, and there may have been others that did the reverse. It seems that the parade had an added feature from the news. I saw that they had a post-parade blues festival. That was interesting twist. It's interesting that in today's Post, and they cover this event, and they talk about that its event still draws crowd. It certainly did draw a crowd, but not the type of crowd that it normally draws. And it shows the vendor. And the vendor that they picture is a Caucasian vendor. And as you know, along the parade route for years, many of the merchants along the route were African Americans directly from our community. And as we have talked about before on the show, it had an impact. Removing the parade had an impact on the vendors and the merchants along the route along Natural Bridge. So we're hopeful that the organizers of the parade will reconsider and that it will come back home. We also, again, as I have always continuously done, even when this conflict started developing, was to encourage individuals to send your contributions to Animal on Home. You know, perhaps we need to have a radiothon or a telethon or something to support the home. And I certainly would be in favor of that, and I know all of you would be also. Let's go to the phone lines and see what our listening audience has to say this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Irene J. Smith. How are you?
Good morning, Miss Martha West. I think that, am I right?
That's right.
All right.
And it was good, beautiful day as you came on saying today, and the sun is shining on both sides. But what I want to talk about, my favorite subject, to clean up my neighborhood. The children are out this morning going to school, and I don't want them to see all those cans and bottles they got to walk through in the trash. And someone decide to empty their cigarette, take all the cigarette butts out of the car and just dump them. Just please help us clean up our neighborhood. And Alderman Troop contributed, made it possible for us in our area for grass seeds and mulch and stuff on St. Louis Avenue and Norwood for the public to help beautify the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's very important. In fact, as you talk about that, Ms. West, yesterday, myself, Mac, who sometimes calls in on the show, and Mr. Murphy and I hadn't planned on it, but we ended up spending about 6 hours working on what is evolving into a community garden that's sponsored by the Mark Twain Community Alliance right across from Mark Twain School. And we spent all morning, you know, we trimmed around the bushes, they cut, we cleaned, and we spread it some weed killers. So you're absolutely right, Ms. Weston. You know that I certainly support beautification in our community as well, but it's something that we can do. We don't have to wait on anyone to do it. We're responsible. I was up, I dropped off someone up at the Snooks on Union and Natural Bridge.
Yes.
And a gentleman got out the car. And I'm a big thing about littering. It just makes me cringe. So he drops this paper on the lot. Now, of course, it's not a public street, but it doesn't matter. So I said, why did you litter? You know, real nicely and stuff. I said, come on now. You know, why? I know, I said, sometimes we don't even think. He went back. He just smiled. Said, I'm sorry. Went back and picked it up. And I think that we just really need to become more conscious in terms of reminding each other. Last week, I was over at one of my favorite restaurants in the community, over at the Pie, Shreve and Lee. And the ice cream man had come down the street, and some young people had purchased some ice cream, you know. And so one of them, like, dropped the cone, you know, the end part of the cone. And I was like, why did you? I didn't litter. Then here comes a piece of napkin floating. And I think people have gotten so accustomed to just dropping trash and not taking into consideration that this is our home, this is our community, and it is up to us to keep it clean. Certainly the city has to do their part, but at the same time, we are responsible for keeping our community clean as well.
Also, wait, and Miss Mildred Lewis, anybody come around St. Louis Avenue and Norwood?
We know Miss Lewis every day.
And that neighborhood, they gave her a plaque.
Oh, that is so great.
And a beautiful straw hat. We were sitting up on the lot.
Oh.
We had a good time up on our vacant lot because we're trying to have a real nice, safe neighborhood for everybody. We want everybody to be included. And another big thing, June, we want the students who's planning to go into Tennessee State to apply for our scholarship. You know, we had our dance in June. This is the deadline.
Please. Did you have a fashion show as well?
Yes, we had a fashion show.
Yeah,
and
my
guess who was there?
I think my baby was there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, she told me about it. Okay, well, I want to get this other call in before the bottom of the hour.
Thank you. Please clean up our neighborhood.
All right. And we just want to send a special shout-out to Ms. Lewis, who always is out picking up paper when she gets home from work in the evening. Good morning.
Good morning, Irene. It's always a pleasure. You've got a good heart, and I always enjoy talking to you. I think the one thing I'd like to bring out, which very few people know, or I don't know if they try to keep it hidden, Maria Chappelle Nadal is my niece. Her sister's name is Cecilia, which is my sister, and she does an extraordinary job, and I enjoyed the interview that you and Liz had with Maria Chappelle Nadal, because the reason I'm bragging on her, much like every relative should brag on their relative, is when you have a relative that becomes a politician and tries to do a sincere, good job for people in the community and deals with the issues and faces all type of threats in different situations when you try to stand up and do the right thing. I think that to me, she's a mentor. She's a living as a young black Puerto Rican, French, Creole, whatever mixture we are, young lady. To me, I think other people, whether it's Maria Chappelle or whomever, should reach out and try to achieve such things that, as she has, or you, or Liz, for that matter. And I think that if people would take life a little more seriously and try to get involved politically and reach some type of position of whatever little authority or power you may have to try to make a difference in a positive way. What's your impression of that?
I certainly agree. I attended, I think it was my niece's, my cousin.
Right.
Some graduation at St. Louis U a couple of years ago. And the commencement speaker talked about this renewed, you know, spirit of service,
right,
of public service.
Yeah.
And quite often we don't have that anymore. And I just want to join in saying that I'm very proud of Maria. And she's young.
And yeah,
she's
brilliant to be so young. She has so much energy.
She has a lot of energy. And what we need to do is start encouraging young people to serve. I mean, when I was coming up, you know, we talk about civic responsibility. It's just not something that just comes, but it was actually kind of ingrained in you that you have a responsibility to your community. And I think she has taken her responsibility as a state rep quite seriously. And I know what it is like to really take your responsibility seriously.
Yeah.
and have information and bring information out. Sometimes that can be problematic with you and your colleagues,
right,
who sometimes are resentful. Who do you think you are? You know, and rather than joining in and being a support base, you know, sometimes you get this sniping.
Exactly.
You know, and that is very hurtful. But to continue to do the work nonetheless, she certainly is to be commended for that. But sometimes standing up there by yourself, I know the feeling, because
yeah,
I have been there, not on the floor of the Capitol, but I've done that on the floor of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen.
Well, I don't know if it's ever happened to you before, but I think it bears mentioning. She's been threatened before, and I remember a couple of years ago, not the CIA, but the FBI or Secret Service was investigating some guys on the internet that had threatened to kill Liz Brown a while back. Aryan Nation, neo-Nazi, or some type of racist organization. And the thing that's sad is when you do tell the truth and you stand up and show fear, you have elements out there that will actually make phone calls and try to threaten you and try to do things. And then in cases like that, you need to take the appropriate action to send those people straight to prison. Because in this country, supposedly, you're supposed to be able to speak your mind within the law, and you're supposed to follow the law. And it seems as though that when you try to follow the proper procedures and the proper way of handling things, I think what it is, a lot of times people have agendas, and they just don't want you to let the multitude of black people know, or people in general know, exactly the crookedness and what's going on behind the scenes. And if most people knew what was going on behind the scenes, it would scare the average person. And you don't have to answer this if you don't want. Have you ever been threatened?
Yes, I have.
That's sad.
Yes,
you
I
see
have.
What I mean? Because I know by listening to you that you got a good heart and you're a good person, and I'm quite sure you have your religious beliefs and your spirituality. But it's just a shame that we live in a country where even when you try to involve yourself and do the right things, you have to face some no good son of a gun threatening
right.
you.
And we're at the bottom of our motorcycle. Have
you.
A good day here.
Yeah.
Okay, you're listening to the Morning Wake Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. Liz is on jury duty. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. I'll be back with you after the break. Stay tuned.
Wake up! Everybody.
Morning, St. Louis, 33 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the Cyrus Traffic and Weather. Cyrus Traffic is sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. Eastbound 40 at Bloom Bridge is an accident on the right shoulder. Northbound 55 between Rivers Parish and Bayless with an accident on the right shoulder. Traffic is flowing near Green Park. Westbound 44 is closed at Pacific Viaduct due to lane switching. Eastbound 70 between Mid Rivers and 79 looks for heavy volume. Westbound 270 at New Hall Ferry and 170 looks for heavy volume. Northbound 270 at Sappington and Doherty Ferry, slow traffic in pockets. he's found 40 between Spady and Lindbergh. Look for heavy volume going on there, and your bridge approaches are starting to stack up this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. Did you know that thousands of termites could be attacking your home and you don't even see them until the damage is done? The Orkin Man knows. Call 1-800-ORKIN-MAN today for your free home inspection. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Mostly cloudy this morning, partly sunny this afternoon, high in the mid-70s. This evening, partly cloudy, low in the mid-50s. Tuesday, partly sunny, chance of showers with a high around 80. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers with a high around 80 as well. Currently, at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 56 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 57. Liz Brown is out today. Instead, we have Irene J. Smith. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm Pat Cook. At Holiday World, we keep our park as neat as a pin. And to prove it, Holiday World and Splash and Safari were once again voted the cleanest and friendliest parks in the world. And we have exciting world-class rides at Holiday World, including the new Voyage roller coaster. It's one of the tallest, fastest, longest coasters in the world. Splash and Safari is the number 2 rated water park in the world. Featuring 2 wave pools, 2 action rivers, enormous water slides, and special water play areas for the little ones. With 2 great parks for 1 price, there's never been a greater value for your family than Holiday World and Splash and Safari. We provide free unlimited soft drinks, free parking, even free sunscreen. And for smaller crowd sizes, visit us during the month of May or June.
Hey, Grandma, is this clean enough?
William, I'd say it's as neat as a pin.
Holiday World and Splash and Safari, number 1 for family fun, now open daily.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
Hi, I'm Carrie Verschel.
And I'm Elaine Adams.
Join us here in the Ladies' Room every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m., an exclusive format for ladies with challenging, insightful, objective, and thought-provoking topics.
The Ladies' Room. It's time to revive, restore, renew, rejuvenate, and refresh, where there's always something to talk about.
So join us in the Ladies' Room.
Does life just seem to happen to you? No plan, no direction? If it does, you're not alone. Join two life coaches, Sandy and Bobby, for an exciting and fun hour of learning how to create the designed life. We'll talk about principles of success, we'll take your calls, and provide coaching to help you achieve the life you desire. Tune in Monday nights at 9 p.m. to The Designed Life on WGNU. Wonder.
I am Laurie Fulkerson. Join me every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people who are just like you that are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in lives of others. And you're invited to share your thoughts. You know, people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show Wednesday mornings at 10 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss what matters most to you.
This is Donna Gamash.
And this is Sabrina Underwood.
Join us for Women Inspiring Women every weekday afternoon at 1 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. Every day, Sabrina and I will bring you amazing women who will motivate, inspire, educate, and entertain you.
Every Wednesday, Shira Dalen, owner of Karis Media, discusses the who, what, when and where of how to get what you need to make it happen in your professional and personal life.
So join me, Donna Gamash,
and me, Sabrina Underwood,
for Women Inspiring Women every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Go to the phone lines. Good morning.
Good morning, Ari. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, could I ask you a question from a sister's perspective?
From a what?
From a sister's perspective.
From a sister's perspective? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Adam.
Okay, Adam. Good morning.
Yeah. You know, if I make a pass at you and if you tell me no, it's not a big deal. But if you make a pass at me, and if I don't react quick enough, I do use the word, not most, but all, some sisters think a push is a homosexual.
I don't think that. I mean, I'm not. I guess I'm one of those. As my friends tell me, I'm a skinner and grinner. I mean, not gonna bust a grape. And maybe that's flirting. Maybe I'm still flirting. But if a man does not succumb to a woman's a sister's advances, most of the sisters that I know don't immediately assume that the man is homosexual.
Well, you know, see, I'm not from St. Louis.
I understand. So I don't know. I mean, what do you base your conclusion on that most sisters, if they flirt with you and you don't you know, go along with the flirt or pick up on it, that they think that you're homosexual?
Well, I've been having a few bad experiences with it.
Okay, so you just had a few. So why make a sweeping indictment of all the sisters simply because you had a few bad experiences with it?
You heard me. I didn't say most, but I said some. That's when I first talked to you.
Okay, so you're saying some.
Yeah.
Oh, well, some of everybody, you know, make you know, try to stereotype people. You know, sometimes people have respect for people that sometimes don't have respect for themselves.
No, because, you know, I'm definitely not a homo by any stretch of the imagination.
But you like choosing your own friends, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of picky.
We all should be. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. So I can't answer you as to, I mean, there are some people who are narrow-minded, and they think that, you know, if I'm flirting with a man, then he ought to pick up on it. But, you know, a lot of men are not like that. Just like a lot of women, when men flirt with them, you know, they ignore it, or either they might smile and still go on about their business. So people respond to flirtation differently.
Yeah, because, you know, I always got the idea they think you are, everybody's a player, and not everybody's a player.
You know I just love this Muslim brother friend of mine. We used to have these conversations, and these people that profess to be players, but they sneaking around. So if you're a real player, then all of the individuals involved would know. And they would accept it because you are so great. You're such a wonderful man. They just can't resist being with you. But it's interesting. So you think, or do you think that there are a lot of men that are players?
No, I mean, that's the idea they think.
Okay.
Like I said, some women, but not all of them.
Okay. So some women think that all men are players?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's probably true. Maybe some women do because of their personal experiences, and they just want to apply it to everyone that they meet. And what about the reverse? There are some men that think all women are gold diggers.
So what do you think about that? So what does that mean? Do you think that all women are gold diggers?
No, it's what you know, everybody's not alike. So, you know.
Right.
You can't say cuz you get
So you get one woman that all she's after is your money does not mean that the next woman that you meet is just simply after your money.
No.
You know, there are some women that, you know, they might like musicians and they just go after guys that play guitars, you know, and they like guys that play guitars and they want to be with them. They want to be a guitar groupie and they want to be around people like Howard all the time because they just find them very attractive and very appealing.
I'm not going there.
You're not going there. All right, Adam, you have a very good day and thanks for calling in. Okay, you're listening to the Morning Wake Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on her way to jury duty. Our contact number is 454-0400 or long distance 877-920-WGNU, or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. My, that was an interesting discussion. I hadn't heard that discussion in a long time. I have seen women who, you know, that flirt with men and they act disinterested. And I have heard sisters say, he must be they didn't use the word gay. They used the word that I don't like, which is a fag. You know, they'll use that word. But I haven't heard that. You know, most of them is like, oh, he's just flirting. You know, most of the sisters just laugh about it and say, oh, he's so flirtatious. He's just really, really flirting, you know. And sometimes they smile and go on about their business. But it's nice to flirt sometimes, and it's nice for one to flirt with you sometimes. And sometimes you just smile and go on. You know, you'll see someone that they really look nice, they really have on a nice outfit. You might say to the brother, you really look nice. And some people may think you're flirting when in actuality you just really think that the brother has put his threads together nicely and you're not flirting. And there are brothers that do the same thing. They'll see a sister and they'll say, oh, you are so beautiful, or you look nice, or you have a beautiful smile. And it may just simply be a compliment and not a flirt. But we will put it in whatever category in our mind we want to put it. As a friend of mine says, we always draw the line closest to our own feet. So let's see what the Roosevelt man has to say this morning. Good morning.
Yes, older woman, you know they're just saying on the business channel with the rise in gas, all things are delivered by truck in the stores, and many of the deliverers are putting on surcharges. Things made from oil, plastic, they're going up. FedEx, UPS, I believe, has put on a 10% fuel surcharge. So we got the trifecta going, Alderwoman. We have Lyndon Johnson in Vietnam. We have Richard Nixon in Watergate. Now we have Jimmy Carter and inflation. So we got the trifecta going simultaneously. And you know, Liz, Alderwoman, still the administration will not admit to one mistake. I saw, you know, Secretary of State Rice on Meet the Press and the other talk shows, and all she does is talk and talk and talk and talk like a robot. So the fish is rotten from the head down, as the Chinese say, and the people didn't want this older woman. Gore carried the popular vote by 534,000 votes, more than Kennedy beat Nixon almost five times, and more than Nixon beat Humphrey. So the people were right, and now we're reaping the whirlwind. I called in once during the Clinton era and said we were back in the 50s and early 60s before the Vietnam War. We were back in the Eisenhower and Kennedy administration. Now we're in two nightmare administrations and a unpopular Democratic presidents, and it's a wonderful world, isn't it, older woman?
Yes.
Especially if you have 20 million like the president and 80 million like Cheney. They don't even know what all the fuss is about. Thank you very much, older woman. It's always an honor to speak to you.
Okay, you have a good day here. Look, we're at another break time. We got to take care of a little business here. So this is the Morning Wake-Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. Liz is on jury duty. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for her. We'll be back after the break.
I was listening to the radio the other day, and I was asking what the number to listen to Brett Rosen. And they told me 9:20 a.m. WGNU. It's not just regular radio or talk radio. It's head dumping talk radio. Some people call it regular radio. I call it head dumping talk radio. It's right here on AM 920 WGNU from 10 till noon on Thursdays. Right here. What you got is good to eat in there. I love listening to Head Dumping Talk Radio with biscuits and mustard right here on AM 920 WGNU. All right, then.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, is your station for talk radio with a difference. Call now for your turn on the air. The numbers are 314-454-0400 or toll-free 1-877-920-WGNU. Individual results may vary. Some restrictions apply.
Hi, this is Lethea Owens with a personal invitation to join me for Motivational Mondays, where your dreams become reality. Part of Women Inspiring Women every Monday afternoon on AM 920 WGNU. I believe when you follow your purpose, you have no choice but to be phenomenally successful, because all of the resources and opportunities you need become attracted to you. So join me, Lethea Owens, for Motivational Mondays, part of Women Inspiring Women, every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Hi, this is Jenny Peterson. I show up now and then on my favorite radio station, WGNU. I hope you'll be there too. We'll let you know when I'll be on. Keep listening. California, yeah. You see a world.
You see us on television, you hear about us on the news, but do you really know policemen on the street? Now is your chance to find out. This is Sergeant Gary Wiggert, host of Bad Boys on WGNU. Join us as we discuss topics ranging from review boards and high-speed chases to residency requirements for the police. We'll discuss gangs and drugs and how it affects your neighborhood every Friday at 10. We'll bring you politicians from Jefferson City and locally here in St. Louis as they craft laws which impact your everyday life. I won't fix your tickets, but I will offer you tips on personal safety and how to make your neighborhood a better place to live. That's Bad Boys with me, Sergeant Gary Wiggert, Friday mornings at 10, only on WGNU. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad Boys, Bad Boys.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do? Hi, it's Kevin
and Sue McCarthy
of
the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences, with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours a week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
My brothers, if there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right?
Oh, I'm just love Curtis Mayfield. All right, let's go to the phone lines and try to get these calls in before the top of the hour. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Smith. It's good to hear your voice. Listen, I went to the festival yesterday. I went to church, came home, ate my dinner, and I went about 3:30 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left, oh, my, there were people, you would not have known that they hadn't had the parade down Natural Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
People everywhere, and I just loved it. The people, really, it was a beautiful day,
mm-hmm.
And some, I guess, had been out there all day. But I just saw a few young people. You know, I didn't see too many because I wasn't out there for about an hour. Mm-hmm. Maybe an hour and a half. And
well, see, I was out there the earlier part from around 1:30 to 3:30.
Yes, well, I got there about the time you were leaving. And I got a nice popsicle. And the lady was with me. She said, girl, I didn't bring it back. We got one of those long ribbon popsicles.
Uh-huh.
I enjoyed it as we strolled through the park.
All right,
so
now.
I used to live over there on Farland.
Okay.
And I lived there for 9 years just to go to the park. It's really nice. I think I've seen a few improvements. Some things are gone, but anyhow, I saw the mallard ducks. I'd never seen any over there before in the pond.
Okay.
And people rowing. When I lived over there, they didn't have any boats. But it was really, I really enjoyed it. I really did. And I look forward to it next year. I hope it grows. But when I came home, that was a traffic jam. Natural Bridge to King's Highway.
Mm.
I finally was able to turn off. I told one officer, thanks for being in the neighborhood. He said, thank you, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, we need to acknowledge our officers.
Exactly.
We didn't see too many, but when we see one, see some, I like to acknowledge them. But I really enjoyed it.
All righty.
Yes, indeed. So I just wanted the public to know we need to support it more.
All righty.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
You're welcome, dear. Good morning, Kevin.
Yes, how you doing, Irene?
I'm okay.
I'd like to ask you a question.
Go right ahead.
If you had became the mayor, what would your vision of the city would have been?
My vision of the city?
Would it pertain to crime?
As it pertains to crime? Actually, we need to look at public safety in a more holistic approach.
Uh-huh.
And, Kevin, can I do this for you? Because
yeah.
I really don't want to just rush through this. I want to really talk about this with you. Do you mind holding on until after the news?
Well, I thank you for allowing me to hold on.
Okay, I'm going to let you hold. I'm going to take this other call. Maybe it's a little quicker. Mr. Davis.
Good morning, Irene J. Smith. How are you this morning?
Oh, good morning, Mr. Davis. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. The weather was just fantastic yesterday for everyone to be out, huh?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. There was a very great crowd over at the Fairground Park, and the kids were just crazy about the fellas and the young ladies that were on the horses.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was probably about 40 or 50. Between 40 and 50 horses out there yesterday.
Yes, see.
At least it seemed like they were all lined up along what, Kossuth or what is that, right along the port?
There
were quite a few of them. So were you out there for a while?
Yes, it was very great and everything. And so some of the fellows and ladies with their horses have agreed to come by the school on some of the days that they could be invited.
Oh, that was great. That is great.
Yes, so the kids can get a chance to see the African American cowboy.
Right, and some people have never ridden horses, and some of the kids have never really saw horse.
You know,
so that was really nice, and I just liked the family atmosphere.
Yes, that it was yesterday. It really, the weather and everything, I think, really brought that family type of atmosphere out, all right?
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. We're at the top.
Maybe next year it'll all be right there in our neighborhood.
Perhaps
we won't have to divide ourselves up.
Perhaps at the top of the hour, we're going to go to the news, and stay tuned, Kevin. I'll be right back at you. The white jeans.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Investigators are hoping to learn what caused the latest mine explosion this one Saturday in Kentucky. Autopsy show carbon monoxide killed 3 of the 5 miners who died that day. Governor Ernie Fletcher says he wants a thorough check of the facility's breathing devices.
It makes no sense to have only an hour of oxygen when these miners were a mile underground. There's no way they could get out, and with an explosion, the CO2 levels would go high. And even if they survived the blast, as 3 of these did, they wouldn't be able to make it to some fresh air.
Fletcher says Kentucky's already toughened its standards on air supplies for mines. They go into effect in July. Little relief at the gas pumps just before the Memorial Day weekend. The Lundberg survey shows prices down about 1.5 cents. The national average now $2.93 a gallon. The Atlantic hurricane season begins next week, and the experts have been saying that 2006 could be as bad or worse than last year. Greg Holland with the National Center for Atmospheric Research says global warming may be a factor in that. It may be time to take another look at the Saffir-Simpson scale.
This potential increase in the most intense hurricanes has led to some debate about whether we need a Category 6.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association issues its forecast today. Are the levees in New Orleans ready for another hurricane?
With the new hurricane season just days away, the report warns New Orleans levees may not be able to withstand another big storm, even after a $3 billion federal repair project. Independent engineers say blame for Katrina levee breaches is widespread, concluding the drive for lower costs led to substandard design and marginal quality.
ABC's Pam Coulter. Barbaro is up and active today. The Kentucky Derby winner was in surgery for 5 hours yesterday. Doctors trying to save the horse's life after he broke his leg in 2 places during Saturday's Preakness. The animal's racing days are probably over, and his chances for survival, vets say, about 50-50. This is ABC News.
We all have tricks to get going on Monday morning. I've heard hide your alarm clock or go to bed 3 hours earlier on Sunday. Mine is simple. Kids and a dog. Nothing says rise and shine like a wet nose in the ear and a 3-year-old pulling on your eyelid asking,
Mommy, sleeping?
My other trick, Carnation Instant Breakfast.
With twice the protein of an egg and 21 vitamins and minerals, Carnation Instant Breakfast has the complete nutrition you need to get going.
Kids and a dog are also the cure for the common nap.
Mommy, sleeping?
Nestle Carnation Instant Breakfast. Serious morning fuel.
Looking for great tires and great deals? Then look for Uniroyal Value Days, going on now through June 10th. Make your money go further on the longest-wearing Uniroyal tires ever. Tiger Paw Touring for cars and Laredo Cross Country for SUVs and pickups. Durable, dependable, and best of all, affordable. Uniroyal Value Days. Great tires, great deals. Going on now through June 10th. Visit Uniroyal.com to find a participating dealer near you. Uniroyal, for everything you value.
What can an old cripple do for you?
I'm into something here that
the critics told you to forget about it. You didn't listen. The Da Vinci Code had a debut weekend of biblical proportions. It earned $77 million here in the U.S., $224 million worldwide, which makes it the second largest global release. Well, gas is not the only summer staple that's more expensive this year. The price of lobsters could hit a record high. Here's ABC's Joan Bennett.
As Maine and New Hampshire coastal resorts try to get word out that they're open for business over the lucrative Memorial Day weekend, despite the recent floods that washed out roads and swamped some businesses, there's another concern for the local economy. Storm runoff fouled coastal waters, causing a sudden drop in salinity levels. Lobstermen are concerned the bottom feeders couldn't move offshore quickly enough to beat the floods, and they're not sure if the lobsters will survive the sudden shock of fresh water. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Here's a WGNU News report brought to you by McDonald's. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. Taking a look at our news this morning, the region's air quality and how to protect yourself from pollution is the focus of today's Clean Air Quality Festival. Susanna Fuchs, the Director of Air Quality for the American Lung Association of Missouri, says the St. Louis area has a real problem with ozone air pollution. Fuchs says when ozone pollution combines with the heat of the summer, it can cause breathing problems for some people.
Especially people who have respiratory disease like asthma. And we have lots of people in our region who have asthma, children and adults. And so this air pollution issue is really problematic for them. And then there's lots of other people who are affected by this air pollution issue as well. Children, the elderly, anybody who spends long periods of time outdoors.
The third annual Clean Air Quality Festival will offer St. Louisans free access to information on air pollution, how to protect yourself from air pollution, and how to improve the region's air quality. The festival runs from 11:30 to 1:30 today at Keener Plaza. In St. Charles, high school students are mourning the loss of two of their classmates. Early Sunday morning, 17-year-old Claire Busey and 17-year-old Kelly Cuthbergson were killed when the car they were riding in skidded off Route O in Franklin County and overturned. The Missouri Highway Patrol reports the driver took a curve too fast. The driver and another passenger remain hospitalized. A St. Louis police officer remains hospitalized this morning after a crash with another officer. Police say the officer was on a motorcycle directing traffic at the African American Heritage Festival in North St. Louis last night when he collided with a patrol car at Natural Bridge and Clay. The officer in the patrol car was not hurt. The motorcycle officer's injuries are not considered life-threatening. And finally, this hour, legal and emergency personnel are still sorting through the lessons learned from Hurricane Katrina. A three-day conference in St. Louis last week focused on the legal aspects of public health emergencies. Dave Massa, the chairman of the Mid-America Public Health Law Emergency Response Committee, says public-private coordination can pose problems, especially in a multi-state disaster like Katrina.
Especially when there's so many agencies, people, private groups involved in responding to a disaster or a major public health emergency. So many levels of coordination, state, federal, local, any number of agencies. And here in our region, our major metropolitan areas overlap the adjoining states. We have state-to-state coordination issues, too.
Among the topics at the conference were mandatory quarantines, restricting freedom of movement, the responsibilities of hospitals, and the coordination of the National Guard. That's WGNU News for this hour, brought to you by McDonald's. Try the new Asian salad at McDonald's. Orange glazed chicken, mandarin oranges, snow peas, red bell peppers, almonds, and fresh greens with low-fat sesame ginger dressing. McDonald's, I'm loving it. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 and 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morphew with the Sour Traffic. The Sour Traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Westbound 40 at McCausland, there's an accident that's been clear traffic is easing by this hour. Westbound Martin Luther King Bridge and gravel pit is nice. And left lane block traffic is flowing near the interstate. Once you get past the exit, traffic flows freely into downtown. Eastbound 40 at the Boone Bridge is slow due to an earlier accident. Northbound 55 at Reeves Barracks and Bayless. Look for an accident to be cleared. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road. Look for no problems to report there as well. Eastbound 70 from K to 79, look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 at West Florissant and 170, look for very heavy volume, and all your bridge approaches are stacked up at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota Owners does the corner repair shop, use genuine Toyota parts. Your Toyota dealer does. Through July, visit participating Toyota dealers and receive an oil change and multi-point inspection for $24.95. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Today, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny this afternoon, high in the mid-70s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-50s. Tuesday, partly sunny. Chance of showers in the afternoon, high around 80, and Wednesday mostly cloudy. Chance of showers with a high around 80 as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have partly cloudy skies. Our temperature is right at 57 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting the same. Stay tuned for more of Irene J. Smith filling in for Liz Brown, who is off today. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares?
Oh, I am. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. Liz is on jury duty today, and so this is yours truly, Irene J. Smith, sitting in for Liz, who will be back maybe tomorrow, maybe later in the week. Our contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance 877-920-WGNU, or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Before the news break, I'm going to go back to Kevin. Kevin, you had a question that you wanted me to answer.
Yeah, since you was on today, I always wanted to ask you, what was your vision when it's pertaining to crime in North St. Louis and how to alleviate it?
Okay.
Because crime can never be stopped.
Okay. Crime cannot. Crime will probably always be with us always.
As long as you have human beings.
As long as you have humans. Initially, you know the question that you asked me?
What?
You asked me, what was my vision as it pertained to public safety? Okay, and...
That's not what I asked you, but that's what you turned into, which is okay, too.
Okay, I thought...
That sounds better. I like that.
I didn't think that you said crime. I thought you said public safety.
No, I said crime, and then you changed it.
Okay.
Which is okay.
Keep me straight. Because the issue of crime is not, the issue of crime relates to public safety, but public safety should be viewed more holistically. Okay? And when I look at public safety, I look at police, fire, building safety, and environmental conditions. Okay?
Right.
And one of the problems that exists with respect to crime in our community is that a lot of the crime that is committed by younger individuals, okay? And one of the things that is lacking in our community is the lack of structured activities. So one of the things that I think that we must do is we must invest on the front end in our children. We must provide structured recreational opportunities and cultural opportunities for our children. We also must provide training and the availability of employment for our young people. And on the same token, if you listen to recently to Francis Slay's State of the City speech, he said crime was only existed in the city in certain areas, was having a problem with crime. So we know that North St. Louis is certainly one of those areas. So then you would expect to see greater police protection in North St. Louis. Also, you would want to see a better communication and better relationship between the people and law enforcement. And so that means, to me, that means getting the policemen out of their police cars. That means getting them to walk the community, to know the community. And on the same token, I don't believe that this is a job that can only be done by the police. Okay, we need to come together more as community. Say, for an example, we have what we call neighborhood stabilization officers, and a lot of them work very hard. They have wards that encounter a lot of different type of problems. We have a lot of what we would call quality of life crimes, and by that I mean, you know, public urination, drinking in public, lewd and lascivious conduct, you know, people just raising heck, so to speak.
Like the crimes that's committed, those type of crimes that's committed at Busch Stadium after a ball game?
Yeah, okay. those same type of crimes that are committed at Busch Stadium after a ball game.
And like DWIs and shit be passed out after a ball game? Okay.
All of those crimes exist in our community. But what you will find, Kevin, is that individuals quite often who are committing those low-end crimes that wreak havoc on our community, often those individuals are sometimes the same individuals. And many times it is because they have issues that have not been addressed in terms of alcoholism, drug addiction, unemployed, just a spirit of despair.
Right.
So one of the things when I was the administrative judge of city court that I became involved in was this concept called community court. And the city of St. Louis, you know, downtown St. Louis had their own version, which was not consistent with the national model. And basically what it was a one-stop shop for, you know, you go to court, you get picked up on one of these quality of life crimes, then there was a whole team of people, social workers, counselors that tried to deal with the particular issues that you were confronted with. It was a more holistic approach to addressing, and it was also a concept of what we call restorative justice. That is, if you do damage to our community, then you have to give back to the community in some type of way, and that giving back normally is some type of community service. So the issue of crime is one, there has been some neglect in our community with respect to law enforcement. And I'm going to give you an example. Just very recently, I was speaking to a young man who's very active in our community, happens to believe in our community, owns a house in our community. His property was set on fire.
Okay.
As a result of the neighbors looking out for each other's property, they were able to determine who they saw going into the house and gave the police that information. He called, gave the police. They picked the guy up, okay? And before they would even take statements, they released him, okay? They released him. They hadn't gone and talked to the witnesses or anything. And it seems like it's a spirit, not with all of the police officers, and I'm certainly not making a sweeping indictment. It's almost sometimes I was looking in the face of some police officers yesterday as we were working in community garden. It was almost as if though they felt they were in an occupied territory. Do you know what I mean? It's like we're patrolling an occupied area, and that's why I was so much in favor of the residency policy for the city of St. Louis. The other part of my vision, Kevin, would be that we need to have local control of our police department. There are only two governmental entities in this state that do not control the police department, and that is the city of St. Louis and Kansas City. We need local control of our police department. Right now, we spend more than a third of our general revenue on the police department. I believe that we can provide better public safety to our community if we had local control of our police department, and if we had the strength to restructure some things within the police department, to restructure some things within the Department of Public Safety that could better service our community. So it's a kind of, I could talk on and on about it because I have a lot of ideas about it, but I don't want to do that over the air. And so hopefully sometime we'll have an opportunity. I can tell you that Liz and I are starting the Saturday Morning Urban Institute, and that is one of the topics that we will be dealing with, is how can we provide better police protection and dealing with the whole concept of public safety as it relates specifically to the African American community, but the city of St. Louis as a whole.
Can I say something real quick?
Yes, sir.
I'm 45 years old. I'm closer to you than you are to the baby boomers. We're in that middle world.
Right.
I think you were 5 when I was born.
Okay.
And only because you told us. Only because, I know better, only because you told us, Irwin. But anyway, I was a disciple 100 years ago. I was so deep in it, it was ridiculous.
I know.
And I went, it was more murders going on that they didn't even put it in the paper. I don't even think they counted it. And how I got out of it, I was in a gang because I was broke. It had nothing to do with camaraderie, not insanity. It had to do with poverty. And the same thing occurred if you watch from the turn of the century to the 40s until FDR came, that's the same thing that was happening with the white folks. They were in gangs because they were broke. You know, they needed money. You need to eat every day. And what they did, instead of taking a police, we're going to lock everybody up, folks, FDR started the progressive movement. You know, he created government jobs. If it wasn't for FDR, he discriminated against black African Americans. That's a long story. I'm talking about for white people, which was a socialist program to kill the crime in their community. Another thing, the reason people use the bathroom in our cities has to do with one thing, because there's no bathrooms. I drink 64 ounces of water a day because the doctor told me I had to. Well, I have to use the bathroom. If I'm going down in the city, there's no way. If I'm on Manchester and going north on Manchester, it's McDonald's and restaurants and businesses everywhere. I can pull in and use the bathroom. There's no way to use the bathroom in the city. Mm-hmm. You have to, you know, if you're drinking the amount of water that you're supposed to a day, if you're 130 pounds, you're supposed to drink 130 ounces of water
a day. But Kevin, let's be real. Let's be real. A lot of us are drinking. I know what you're saying because I'm trying to get my quota of water, and I happen to like water. But a lot of folks, and I dealt with this when I was on the bench, a lot of folks that are alleviating themselves is not because they're drinking their quota of water. It's because they're drinking a 40 ounce.
Okay, but you know what? It's not a man out there that doesn't use the bathroom outside. I don't care if he's a lawyer,
okay, so
living in Chesterfield, or a brother walking down the street, you know, or in the city.
So,
too.
Kevin, so
if there's no bathroom, Liz. Irene, where do you use the bathroom?
Kevin, I understand what you're saying. So that, what I'm saying is that is an issue that we need to deal with to address that.
The only way you can do that, it has really to do when they devastated North St. Louis.
Yeah.
Who was that mayor that did that? Who was the mayor in the 70s? 79, 80.
You're talking about
Shamble
and Cervantes.
Right. And I remember in this, you know what? I lived on Redbud. And I'm gonna let you go. I lived on Redbud. And I used to walk up to West Florida, and me and my mother at 10 o'clock at night used to walk up to this Velvet Freeze. My mother was real young and my father was at work. And there were stores everywhere.
You're absolutely right.
And I'm not 100 years old. This is recent history. I don't know what they did, but my father said the reason he moved to the county is because they wouldn't finance you to put a roof on your house. And if you were, they were getting redlined. He said he didn't want to leave. He wanted one of those houses, but he knew that he couldn't get a loan to get a roof on your house.
And, Kevin, I know what you're saying is absolutely true, and it ties right into the Team 4 plan, which will be talked about and may be dealt with legally in the very near future. But I'm going to move on.
Okay, have a great day, sister.
Thank
Run
you.
Again.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for your question. It's very important. And the reality of the situation is we can also do some things about public safety, and we're going to talk about that a little later.
Okay.
I'm going to move on to Deborah. Good morning. I guess Deborah decided to. Hello?
Hello?
Deborah.
Hi. I just wanted to say a lot of these issues, they raise as the determining factor of how they're going to be handled. That issue out at Lutheran South High School, that is a prime example.
Why don't you tell us about, why don't you tell the listening audience of what you're talking about?
The kids that were selling drugs and. Oh. Lutheran South High School in South County, I would assume, or West County, wherever. You know, those students, I don't think they are going to be charged. I know they haven't been charged. They've been given the summons. Do you know if that had been a student over in Hazelwood or...
They would have been charged.
Oh, yes.
They would have been charged. Did you have an opportunity to read the... Leonard Pitts does a column in the St. Louis Post. And he did a story on, it was talking about this issue of responsibility and who's responsible. And he was talking about people not wanting to deal with the issue of race and how it impacts. And he read off the statistics that come out of the Department of Justice, talking about how an individual with similar backgrounds, you know, an African American is more likely to be charged than an individual similarly situated. We're talking about the disparity in sentencing. And as Cornel West says all the time, race certainly does matter, and certainly race is a factor in it. You know, people don't want to hear it, and they want to say, there are some people that say, black males are just criminals, you know, and that's why they're in prisons. But the reality of the situation is race does certainly factor in as to whether or not you are charged, whether or not you're taken to the police station, whether or not you're released.
Exactly. I work in an environment where it's dealing with government contracts. There are many white males around here with drug convictions and alcoholic felons. They're allowed to work here, but if they're black people, if they have any kind of problem, you know, they don't work here.
And unfortunately in our country and throughout the world, but particularly in the United States, racism still very much exists.
Yes, it is. And just like another thing, when you see little white kids acting up, they're sleepy, they're tired, but black children have a behavior problem.
All you have to do is follow the commentary in the news when there's a tragic, horrible situation that has been done by an individual or youth that happens to be Caucasian and one that happens to be African American. And listen to the adjectives. Look at the adjectives that are used.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he came from a stable family. He was a troubled youth. You know, and you'll hear same individual, African American, he's an animal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it certainly does exist.
Yeah, it doesn't. Nothing irritates me more to be on an airplane and there's this little obnoxious kid behind me kicking the seat and they're begging and pleading to stop, and it's never happened. It's only happened with a little white child.
It maybe happened with the white, and I do understand what you're saying, but I've seen a bunch of our kids, and I just look at the parents and say, you crazy, because if you don't check them, the system will. Thank you, Deborah, for calling in. I'm going to go to the next caller, okay? Have a good day. Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to ask you a question. It's not done with the subject, but the question was...
We just have all kind of subjects, Bill, this morning. Just whatever you want to talk about is the subject.
Okay, the question I wanted to ask you was when President Bush came into office, was there a deficit?
Was it a deficit when Bush came in?
Right.
No.
Or,
not to, at least my
was a surplus.
It was a surplus.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some type of references that you can give me where I can look up this information?
Not offhand, but do you have a computer?
Yes, ma'am.
If you put in there, go Google it, and just put in, you know, you could work with it different ways. The status of the U.S. budget when Bush took office, you could work it, or the U.S. budget
U.S. deficit,
status of the U.S. debt. But it applies to the budget as well. But the U.S. deficit would be more specific.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
My. We've had quite a number of topics this morning. We've gone from beautification to crime and public safety. And one of the things that Martha West talked about when she called in was beautification in our community. And I want to talk about that relative to in our community, like along King's Highway, the medians have been planted. And I want to talk about the disgusting souls who are stealing the green plants and taking them and trying to sell them throughout the community. So if you know of anyone, I think that one individual thinks that his security camera may have picked up the individuals who are digging out the plants as the forestry workers or the Parks Department workers had put the plants in. But if anyone has any information about who's taking the plants out of the median, and particularly in our community, and selling them, you know, they're putting them in, the guys that are putting them in, you know, those little plastic grocery bags, and they're going through the neighborhood. I mean, we want the mediums, and they're looking nice. They are being shored up a little, and the planting looks so nice this time of the year. So if anyone sees anyone kneeling down and it's not a group of folks planting, they're suspect to being plant thieves. And I would suggest that you call the police on them. Of course, back in the day, you wouldn't have to worry about the police. Some folks in the neighborhood would just catch them and check them in due course. But if they are caught and prosecuted, I think they ought to do about 500 hours of community service. I'm going to go to the phones. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Good to hear you again after so long.
All right. How you been?
I'm okay.
That's good.
I do have an answer, I do believe, if I heard it right, to the last caller about the budget when Bush came into office.
It was a surplus.
Right.
You know how much it was?
$350 billion.
Ooh, $350 yes. billion that has been squandered away by the Bush.
It was squandered right within, like, the first, I think, 2 months of this invasion, because the budget just went straight out of whack after this whole thing in Iraq came into being. Well, not just Iraq, but also 9/11, because remember 9/11 was used as an excuse for all kinds of spending.
Exactly.
And you remember too, before 9/11, everything was talked about in terms of millions.
Right.
9/12, million disappeared.
Right.
Automatically billions.
Right, automatically. You know, I wonder if there's ever been any type of study to determine, depending on which political power is in the White House, whether or not we have a deficit or a surplus.
I don't know. There probably is. Oh, and another thing I remember, too, since you mentioned that, for the first time since 1962, in 1992, I think it was, Clinton finally balanced the budget.
Right.
Now, I'm not a Clinton fan, don't get me wrong, but I do believe in giving Jack his jacket. If somebody does something right, regardless of who it is, tell
just
the truth about him.
Just give him credit.
And he did do those two things. He left us very much in the black, and he did balance the budget. Now, that's something that Republicans are always hollering about. You got to balance the budget. You got to balance. Well, who did it? Reagan didn't do it.
Well, see, the balance of the budget is fine as long as it's on the backs of poor people.
Uh-huh.
You see, but it doesn't matter that we're in a deficit if those who are well off are getting government contracts with no controls on them, if they're making money hands over fist, if you and I are paying three something at the pump.
Mm-hmm.
And Andre, I'm right at the bottom of the hour, dear.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in. Appreciate that information.
Right.
This is the Morning Wake Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. I'll be back with you after this.
That's destined.
That is destined to die.
morning, St. Louis, 33 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Horn with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by MoDOT's I-44 Safe Highway Partnership. Westbound 44 at St. Louis, Franklin County Line and Pacific Viaduct. There's traffic due to construction as we're switching lanes, so use caution as you roll up to that area. Eastbound 70 at K and 79, look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 at West Florissant and 170, heavy volume there. Northbound 270 at Gravelway and Big Bend, look for stop and go traffic. Eastbound 44 at Mraz overpass 270, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Brentwood all the way into Hanley, you've got traffic that's so slow and sluggish there. All your approaches to the Poplar Street Bridge are still slow at this hour. Del Mar Skinker, there's an injury accident. Southbound 94 at O'Fallon Road, there's an accident. Goodfellow at Windham, there's an injury accident, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by MoDOT's I-44 Travel Safe Partnership. I-44 from Route 109 west to Pacific is a travel safe zone due to construction. Buckle up, pay attention, and slow down. Tickets are issued on the I-44 safe zone because we want you to arrive alive. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly sunny in the afternoon, high in the mid-70s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-50s. Tuesday and Wednesday, chance of showers both days with a high in the 80s. Currently, we have 57 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting the same. Liz Brown is out today. Instead, we have Irene J. Smith filling in for Liz Brown. Stay tuned for more of that. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Thinking about moving? Think Allstate. If you're looking for some cheap fly-by night, this is not the place to call. If you're looking for first-class service in local and long-distance moving, Allstate is the only choice. Celebrating 77 years of service to St. Louis and the nation. Allstate's Transworld Van Lines, 314-389-6200.
Hello, this is Alfred Gurley, your host of the German Hit Parade radio program. Heard every Sunday afternoon from 2:30 till 4 here on WGNU. Enjoy the beautiful melodies and timely news from Germany as we make your Sunday afternoon just a little bit brighter. The German Hit Parade is the longest running German program on radio in St. Louis, and I hope you make it part of your weekend listening every Sunday afternoon from 2:30 till 4 right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Join the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy, hosted by Zaki Baruti at our new hour at 9 p.m. every Thursday night for insightful information and intelligent discussion of the issues of the day. Tune in to the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy. Remember, knowledge is power.
This is Donna Gamash.
And this is Sabrina Underwood.
Join us for Women Inspiring Women every weekday afternoon at 1 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. Every day, Sabrina and I will bring you amazing women who will motivate, inspire, educate, and entertain you.
Each Friday, we'll be joined by women authors who share their journey of getting in print. And through their success, they will inspire you to make your book happen.
So join me, Donna Gamash,
and me, Sabrina Underwood,
for Women Inspiring Women every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Can you stop?
still become a hero at work? Yes. Is it still easy? You bet. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner each week and deliver a basket of goodies to the winning workplace. You have to hurry, though. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees and family of WGNU Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNU Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
From nowhere, through a caravan, around campfire light, a lovely woman in motion, with hair as dark as night.
All right. She was a gypsy woman. In case you didn't know, we lost a pioneer. Catherine Dunham passed. She was 96 years old. And she was an artist that was also an activist. And she has made her transition at the age of 96. Her adopted family is probably the whole city of East St. Louis. And so we certainly send out our condolences, and we're just so thankful that she was with us for 96 years. I mean, I can remember, I think it was the hunger strike she went on at the age of 82 over the treatment of Haitian refugees. And so we've lost another big one, Catherine Dunham, at the age of 96. You know, when Kevin and I was talking about the issue of crime in our community, we talked about a number of things, and one of the things that I didn't mention is that economic development and employment are very key to reducing crime in our community. There seems to be a disconnect in certain areas of our community. You look through, you ride through, and you see buildings that are standing, that are vacant, many of which belong to LRA, that are not being maintained. You see many individuals who have plans that could employ individuals in our community. If we had a school similar to the Arthur Kennedy School, and our young people and young men and women had an opportunity to actually go into our community to rebuild. And one of the things that Kevin talked about was the Works program that was put in place after the Depression, and actually assisted in bringing the country out of Depression and putting people back to work. And we need to do and have something similar for our city. We need to have a works program that would build up our city and utilize and train our young people to get them off the street. I mean, it was interesting. I was looking recently at a program on 60 Minutes. It was called the Harlem Children's Zone. And a brother had come out of that community, and he had a very holistic approach to addressing the interest and the needs of the children, going back into even having a baby college where people were trained on how to be a parent and how to to rear their children. But it was interesting when he got to the high school level and how many young people don't see any value in having a high school education or receiving an education. Many young people don't even have any aspect of living beyond 20 or 21 years old. And when I hear that, I just cringe. And you know, people immediately want to point the finger at the young people, but we, community, we are responsible for providing safe and nurturing environments for our children. And we, as community, we fail to do so. So, you know, while we point our finger and we talk about the crimes that are committed by individuals in our community, and particularly the young, you know, we must also look at ourselves. And what is it that we failed to do? We have failed to provide a safe and nurturing environment in our community. And when I say we, I'm not just talking about those who are in the African American community, because we are responsible, but I'm also talking about our city government, our state government, and our federal government. So I'm going to go to the phone lines. Good morning.
Hello. I've got a different point of view on some things with you, some things I agree with you. First of all, like you was talking about the community, and this gentleman was talking about when he was small with his mother, he used to walk over there on West Florissant and a lot of businesses. We had businesses, but what happened to our little businesses? All up now, Martin Luther King, when the people would lock their doors and go home, the jokers would break in and steal everything. We had little restaurants around the city. I remember one, I won't call the name, over on St. Louis Avenue. You know, it was there. I came to St. Louis in 62. It was very famous, and we took it over. What happened? You start going around there, these jokers around there, hanging around, begging for money, robbing people and everything. You know, what we need the politicians to stop talking about this police board where this gangster the police beat up. They want a special board to protect his rights. We need the power.
It's not about his right.
Well,
Let me finish, this is a conversation.
Then you can criticize.
No, I'm not going to criticize. We're going to have a conversation, okay? We're going to have a conversation.
Okay.
You said that they need, and I guess that's whoever is pushing out. And I want to make sure that I'm understanding what you're saying.
Yeah, the politicians.
Okay, the politicians. It's not just the politicians.
The people.
Okay, that are pushing a civilian review board. Is that what you're referring to? Okay, and now what are you saying relative to that?
I said that joker that they beat up, he ain't caused trouble to so many of our people.
What joker?
Any of them.
Okay, well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What about the senior citizen that was in her home
Wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. Okay, go ahead.
Because everyone who is the victim of police brutality or excessive force are not criminals.
Okay. Now, wait. Let me finish. I agree. I know that old lady, the police was absolutely wrong, and I think them police were dealt with. I don't think they're on the force now. But let me say one more thing, you know. Okay. What we need to get these policies. We don't need control of the police board, or we need this and that and all that. These politicians need to get some police to walk the beat over in North St. Louis.
That's so how do you suppose that we do that if we don't have local control of our police department?
Well, we got some sad politicians if they can't get some police out their cars.
But let me ask you this.
Yeah, sure.
Let me ask you this. The police department for the city of St. Louis is controlled by the state.
Yeah.
It's a state-created entity, okay? Now, the police powers come from the state.
Okay.
But the city of St. Louis and Kansas City, we do not have local control. We do not have local control of a police department. So, let me ask you this.
Yes.
You have a household, right?
Yes.
You want to hang with me for a minute, because I'm going to have to go to a break, but I want to continue our discussion. I don't want to cut you off.
Okay.
Can you hold on until after the commercial?
Sure, I love talking with you.
Okay, hold on a second. I'll be back with you. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. We're going to go to a break, and I'm going to be right back so I can continue my discussion with our caller.
From nowhere, through a caravan, around campfire light,
A lovely woman in motion, with hair as dark as night. Her eyes were like that of a cat in the dark.
Did you know there's still time to be the hero where you work? That's right. You still have a chance. Stop in today. Drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard, and you could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. We've drawn a new winner each week and made Workplace Heroes every Monday. We delivered a basket full of assorted goodies from Great Harvest Bread, Thomas Premium Blend Coffee, and WGNU Radio. There's still time, but you have to hurry. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. Employees and family members of WGNU Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. Come on. Be a hero. You know you want to. That's the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard, just west of the Innerbelt. Leave a business card, and that's it. You're on your way to being the next WGNU Workplace Hero. Sponsored by the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Premium Blend Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm Will Cook, president of Holiday World and Splash and Safari in Santa Claus, Indiana. People ask me, why is it worth taking the trip to Holiday World? First, Holiday World Splash and Safari is a great value for your family. We offer two parks for one price with free parking, free inner tube usage, free sunscreen, and free unlimited soft drinks. We have world-class family rides at Holiday World, including three of the best wooden roller coasters, the Raven, the Legend, and new this year, the Voyage, one of the longest, fastest, and tallest wooden coasters in the world. Splash and Safari is the number two rated water park in the world, featuring two wave pools, two action rivers, and some of the largest water slides on the planet. And it's all free with your admission. At Holiday World, many of our guests travel 3 hours or more to visit us, and they say it's worth the trip. You'll have more fun here than at any other park. We're celebrating 60 years of fantastic family fun. I invite you to learn all about us on our website at holidayworld.com.
Holiday World and Splash and Safari, number one for family fun, now open daily.
The Folk School of St. Louis presents the Kimswick Music Festival at Quiver River State Park on Sunday, May 28th. The event starts at 10 a.m. and lasts until 11 in the evening. Admission is $15. The festival will feature live bands, contra and square dancing, and music workshops. For more info, call 314-727-3355. Something musical for you from WGNU.
Hi, I'm Carrie of our show.
And I'm Elaine Adams. Join us here in the ladies' room every Tuesday and Thursday starting May 11th from 4 until 5 p.m. An exclusive format for ladies with challenging, insightful, objective, and thought-provoking topics.
Featured weekly, a diverse segment of the female population, where dialogue is exchanged about issues of immediate concern and topics that could become conversations of the late night. The Ladies' Room. It's time to revive, restore, renew, rejuvenate, and refresh, where there's always something to talk about.
So join us in The Ladies' Room.
Where's my jewelry? I'll be back real soon. Can we talk?
Stay up late as WGNU continues each night to bring you the issues that matter most. Keith Gray from 11 to midnight. The conspiracy hunter, decent guy Don Griffin from midnight until 2 a.m. Morning, day, and night, focusing on the issues that matter most. AM 920 WGNU, issue-driven talk radio.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
If Your Love Cannot Be Moved by Stevie Wonder. Yes.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Okay. See, my main problem is hardworking people live in areas and senior citizens. They tell you that they have to get in before dark and they don't go out after dark. You know, that's what I'm concerned about. And I remember they used to have police walking all around the city on different beats back in, I think they might have stopped at about 70 or 75. That's what I think. In these high crime areas, put the police on the beat. Let them walk the neighborhood, meet the people, talk to the people. That's what the politicians, I think, need to be trying to get done. That's my opinion.
All right, dear.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Now. Well, we actually agree about the beat aspect of it. And again, I say that crime is not something that simply the police can control. And if you really know, we have had beat police officers during days when the federal government was providing some additional funding. We had police officers in the neighborhood beat on the feet, you know, doing the beat on their feet. And I know that we always talk about the politicians ought to. They shouldn't be talking about, say, for an example, the Civilian Oversight Board. Many of these same politicians who I served on the Board of Aldermen with are also the same politicians that have been pushing to get more police officers into the neighborhood. But more police officers is not really the solution to the problem. Some of it is a result of the conditions that exist in our community that need to be addressed in a more holistic fashion. The other issue about the politicians need to get the police on the beat. Again, if we had greater control of our police department by having local control, we will be able to have a greater impact on that. And for the brother who I just talked with, let's take this for an example. You have a budget in your household. And say, for an example, you have a budget, but I'm on the outside of your household. I take control of more than a third of your budget. It's determined that more than a third of your budget will be spent over at my house. And you don't get to say how that money is spent. You don't get to say whether or not the money is going to be cut back or anything like that. That is exactly the situation we have with respect to the police department. The city of St. Louis spends more than a third of its general revenue dollars on the police department. A third. Yet we don't control our police department. Every other entity in the state of Missouri, except Kansas City and St. Louis, have local control of their police department. It's something that we pay for, and it's something that he who pays the piper should be able to name the tune. The citizens of the city of St. Louis ought to have control of their police department. In addition to that, some of the conditions that exist in our community, vacant buildings that are not being renovated, buildings that are being literally walked away. I mean, people are just carrying bricks away. There's not a high enforcement priority placed on that. You know, and the police officers would tell you, oh yeah, those are terracotta bricks that people are stealing. Oh, we know who buys them. We know where you can find them. You can go over on Choteau. You can go over on Euclid to certain places. And you will find them there. But yet that has not been placed as a priority. You know, we see people on top of buildings stealing bricks. You know, and this isn't a priority item. So how can we restructure the police department, working with the Department of Public Safety and other public safety entities, to provide better protection for our community? So, brother, I agree with you, and I feel your frustration. You know, people should not have to feel that they have to get home before dark and then lock themselves, you know, put two or three or four locks on the doors. That's an indictment of the government of this city, as well as state government, federal government, and us as community. That's an indictment of us. Because that was a time in our community when you could not attack a senior citizen and get away with it. There was a time in our community when children would not disrespect adults in their presence and it would not go unchecked. So some of this is about us as community deciding what standard, what will we stand for, what will we stand up for, and what will we tolerate. And at this particular point in time in our community, we are tolerating too much disgust. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Smith. I'd like to make a comment more in line with what the senior citizen gentleman spoke on.
Go ahead.
I'm a senior citizen myself. African American man. Born and raised in the city of St. Louis. My family was always in construction. And one of the observations I've made down through the years is here in the later years is the fact that that black males, young black males, when I say young, I mean black males, especially between the ages of 40 and 50, they don't want to work. You can pay some of these guys $25 and $30 an hour. They'll work 2 days a week. They'll throw you off schedule. They won't call in. And then they'll blame it on the women or their wives or their girlfriends or children or whatever. The men, it's the black men in the community, Ms. Smith, who are the culprits. These are guys are the main culprits. They want to call themselves men and say you have to respect them, but they don't carry the mantle of men. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
And it's just very disheartening. Even myself, the guys that I know, most of the guys I know, we were veterans of the Vietnam situation. Yeah, it was an unpopular thing. You know, it wasn't a patriotic thing. You know, we served. You go around and people say, oh, I wouldn't do, you couldn't get me to raise my hand and do nothing. You don't do nothing in your own community. You would be the last person I would want to foxhole with me. You see what I'm saying? These men are not men. They're children. And I think it's a sad pervade in our times, in our community, for the men to blame the women for their travail.
Okay, I'm going to comment
on that.
Okay, thank you for calling in. I'll comment on that after the news. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who has jury duty. We'll be back with you after the break.
You can't speak of grace and then smack her face. You can't speak of hope and then crack a joke. You can say you never know how much you've grown.
AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Some good news just before the Memorial Day getaway.
Soft-serve regular now costs $2.93 per gallon. It's down about a penny and a half from 2 weeks ago. And this is the first drop we've had since February.
Gasoline analyst Trilby Lundberg, she says there may be more where that drop came from.
Gasoline prices are very likely to continue dropping as long as we don't have another surge in the oil price or refining problems due to weather or other emergencies.
The Memorial Day weekend is the unofficial start of the summer vacation season. Here's another sign that summer is just around the corner. The start of the Atlantic hurricane season is next Thursday, June 1st. Today, the National Hurricane Center makes its predictions. ABC's Bill Blakemore takes a look at last year.
They said there'd be 12 to 15 named tropical storms. There were 28. That 7 to 9 would become hurricanes. 15 of them did. And that 3 to 5 would reach at least Category 3. 7 did, and all but one of those hit the U.S.
Scientists say the increase in the number of storms and their strength may be no accident. It could be due in part to man-made global warming and that they're thinking of adding a Category 6 to the Saffir-Simpson scale. Investigators hope to enter the Kentucky coal mine where an explosion killed 5 workers Saturday. Autopsies show that 3 of them died from carbon monoxide poisoning. Barbara is up and active today. The Kentucky Derby winner hurt in Saturday's Preakness may still not survive.
Considering Barbaro's injuries, it is amazing that he is still walking.
If you have this specific combination of injuries, the horse is usually put down at the racetrack.
Dr. Dean Richardson, the vet who operated on the horse after he broke his leg in 3 places at the start of the Preakness. One bone was shattered into more than 20 pieces. It was difficult surgery. His chances of survival still 50-50. But Dr. Richardson says
he's extremely interested in the mares, and that's an exceptionally good sign.
Just like a guy. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
The Dow is down 27 points and NASDAQ is off 17. This is ABC News.
We all have tricks to get going on Monday morning. I've heard hide your alarm clock or go to bed 3 hours earlier on Sunday. Mine is simple. Kids and a dog. Nothing says rise and shine like a wet nose in the ear and a three-year-old pulling on your eyelid asking,
Mommy sleeping?
My other trick, Carnation Instant Breakfast.
With twice the protein of an egg and 21 vitamins and minerals, Carnation Instant Breakfast has the complete nutrition you need to get going.
Kids and a dog are also the cure for the common nap.
Mommy sleeping?
Nestle Carnation Instant Breakfast. Serious morning fuel.
Looking for great tires and great deals? Then look for Uniroyal Value Days, going on now through June 10th. Make your money go further on the longest-wearing Uniroyal tires ever. Tiger Paw Touring for cars and Laredo Cross Country for SUVs and pickups. Durable, dependable, and best of all, affordable. Uniroyal Value Days. Great tires, great deals. Going on now through June 10th. Visit Uniroyal.com to find a participating dealer near you. Uniroyal, for everything you value.
The critics pretty much panned it, but moviegoers wanted to see if The Da Vinci Code really lived up to all the hype. The Tom Hanks movie made $77 million in its opening weekend, but Bill Donahue at the Catholic League says he's not worried about
it. Because the movie is so inane, it's such a positive failure, that it's not going to persuade people to the kind of malicious theme that was in the book.
It was the best opening, though, for a movie so far this year. This is a good day to be Tyler Snyder. He caught Barry Bonds' 714th career home run ball in the San Francisco Giants game against Oakland Saturday. He's getting all kinds of offers, as you would imagine, including one for $50,000, which prompted ABC's Charlie Gibson to ask him.
Wouldn't the polite thing simply be, because it's important to Barry Bonds, to give it to him?
Yeah. Tyler, don't you want to give it to him?
If he offers the right price.
The homer ties Bonds, by the way, for second on the all-time home runs list with Babe Ruth. I'm Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
This WGNU News update is brought to you by McDonald's. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. The region's air quality and how to protect yourself from pollution is the focus of today's Clean Air Quality Festival. Susanna Fuchs, the Director of Air Quality for the American Lung Association of Missouri, says the St. Louis area has a problem with ozone air pollution, which, when combined with the heat of summer, can cause breathing problems for some people. She says it's important people learn what they can do to protect themselves from air pollution and improve the region's air quality. The third annual Clean Air Quality Festival runs from 11:30 to 1:30 today at Keener Plaza. In other news, St. Louis's position on the Illinois border could cause legal questions during public health emergencies. A three-day conference in St. Louis last week focused on the legal aspects of public health and disaster response. David Massa, the chairman of the Mid-America Public Health Law Emergency Response Committee, says determining who's in charge is often complicated in multi-state disasters. Among the topics at the conference were mandatory quarantines, the responsibilities of hospitals, and the coordination of the National Guard. And finally, at this hour, this is National Safe Boating Week, and Anheuser-Busch is urging people to boat responsibly. Carol Clark, a spokesperson for the brewery, says people know they should use a designated driver on the road, but often do not think about it on the water. In addition to using a designated boater, Anheuser-Busch is urging people to play it safe on the water by always wearing a life jacket, traveling at a safe speed, and not overdoing time on the water. And that's a report of WGNU News for this hour, brought to you by McDonald's. Try the new Asian salad at McDonald's. Orange glazed chicken, mandarin oranges, snow peas, red bell peppers, almonds, and fresh greens. And it's all with low-fat sesame ginger dressing. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Reporting for WGNU News, I'm Peyton Colston.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of AM 920 WGMU. I'm Holly Morgan. Sour traffic and weather. Sour traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Westbound 70 at 94 roads to destruction. Left lanes closed. Olivet, Masoners, traffic lights not working. In fact, there are a number of areas that have road construction going on. So do yourself a favor, give yourself a break, and slow down. Everything else looks pretty good at this hour. The bridge approaches are on the move, and like I said, there are a number of areas where road construction is prevalent in the St. Louis and St. Louis County areas. So just caution and slow down. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Play the Illinois Lottery, set for life, six new instant games, $200 million in total available prizes, plus a second chance drawing. Illinois Lottery, have a ball, play responsibly. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Today, mostly cloudy this morning, partly sunny this afternoon, high in the mid-70s. This evening, partly cloudy, low in the mid-50s. Tuesday, partly sunny, a chance for showers, high around 80. And Wednesday, pretty much the same, chance for showers with a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 57 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 60 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Irene J. Smith filling in for Liz Brown. That's up next. Take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
One of my favorite artists, and young sister India Ari said, when will we have time? When will there be a time for love? I just want to comment briefly on the last caller before the news. I understand and I feel his frustration with the things that exist in our community, but somehow I don't feel that it's entirely on the men. I think that it's a joint responsibility, and that women are also responsible, because in most situations we are the primary individuals who are rearing these men, and certainly men have a responsibility to rear and assist in bringing up their children. But men existing in a situation where you don't have a job and you're not trying to help yourself, certainly it's that individual man's responsibility to do that. But it's also increasingly that oftentimes there are many women who allow brothers to make every excuse in the world as to why they cannot work. And I'm talking about, even if you can't find a job, I was with a gentleman who had an auto body repair shop, Mr. Newburn, the other day, Saturday, and we were discussing this very issue, and he said what really is disturbing to him, he talked about how his parents had come up from the South and how hard they had worked, and they would work, doing whatever you had to do. And we're entering in an age where it is, you know, we're talking about right now the African American community, but it really applies to the society in which we find ourselves today. People don't want to, a lot of folks don't want to work for what we would have worked for. I'd rather work than ask somebody for something. And a lot of times people feel that they would rather ask somebody for something than work. And I don't think that that's something that's just particular to the African-American community. I think it's a societal phenomenon at this time, because so much is taken for granted. You know, as people say, I wouldn't work for that. You know, I think about my mother and probably some of your mothers, and who scrubbed floors, you know, who did day work. I mean, they got car fare and $10 or $15 back in the day. But they did it because they were trying to make sure that their children were taken care of. You know, you had men. They had two and three jobs. You know, some of them shoveled coal. Then they had a job, you know, as a street sweeper. You know, and we did, and we may do. Well, unfortunately, that has not been instilled into this generation that we find ourselves in, and my generation. I mean, I'm 52, so the one that's 40 is close enough to being part of my generation. So, you know, I would work. You know, I had me some kind of business ever since I was 9 years old. I had an ironing business. You know, I had a cleaning business. You know, some kind of way to make an honest living. But I don't think it's just something that's peculiar to the African-American community. The phone lines are all lit up. Callers, we are having problems with our board. I'm kind of trying to remember exactly the next order, and I think our next caller should be Ike. But we're having difficulty.
Yes.
Keeping up with who called first.
This is Ike.
Okay, Ike, according to my little scribbles, you should be next because I'm doing this blind.
Okay. Howard
is having to actually write down names because we're having problems with our onboard.
Well, how you doing today?
I'm fine, dear. How are you?
Well, you know, me and you from the same old neighborhood. I'm old school like you, and the guy called about being in the Marine Corps, and I've been to Vietnam. These little hooligans out there that call themselves men and bad, they don't shake me at all because I tell you the rule. I've been on the north side, and I be talking to the older people about how these young boys out there trying to be men. And the young ladies also, they're not helping things either. You know, it's a two-way thing here. But when we was coming downtown, like you said, we had made jobs, cut grass, me and my twin brother, who preceded me in death. He was a Vietnam vet, Andrew. And we had jobs every day. We did something. My dad said, do something. I didn't walk the street. And when I got through, I better be home with 25, 22 Coleman. Because I went to Dunbar and Carlane. I was 10 years old when they started integrating at Columbia, which is down the street. Now, if you look at Jeff Vanderbilt area down there, it's babies having babies. These kids are nowhere out there adult whatsoever. It is a shame. And I got to go on to man. You know, it's ridiculous out here. They talk bad. They pass the street. They're disrespectful. And a lot of them carrying guns. You can buy the paper. They catch them with guns. And this is why I can understand this carry and conceal law. That's backwards. They got the guns out there already concealed illegally, but they're going to give a fool a gun that is a coward. And the worst person with a gun is a coward because they don't realize when you pull off a round. Now, I know my buddies are sometimes just retired. You remember rounding down?
Yeah.
Homicide.
Mm-hmm.
I go to school with them. They were twins too. I talked to Ronald Down. They get them chumps downtown there inside that jail. They ain't nothing. They be blowing that big old smoke on the street, but get me downtown that police station. They ain't nothing but little mice. Yes, sir. No, sir. These old so-called bad boys. You know, my friends were cops when I got back from Vietnam. Michael Bryan, all of them. I know you know Ronald Down.
Yeah.
Had a sister named Martha. She worked at the Voyager. She's in New York now. Her and my sister grew up together. But all of us downtown, we had that mother wit, daddy, that work effort. But this problem today here, this is a mess. And I don't see nowhere soon it's going to change. When I read the world, I look at it, I throw it away. It's a shame. Nothing good. This is ridiculous. Little boys getting shot in front of a house. This is going on. Shoot up the whole family. This is a mess, Irene.
It is.
This is a mess. And I mean, it hurts me. I get so paranoid now. I don't want to go across. I go down to Spruce, you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm on North every day because I'm retired now from GM. And I'm over there at Red Bones. And me and Cody, we beat over at Red Bones sometimes. And we just go outside and look at these kids pass coming from Beaumont. Their attire and dress is awful. It's disgusting the way the young girls look. And they try to go and have nerve to try to talk to us. Hey, you sure look good. I said, young lady, I said, won't you go ahead on about yourself? It's pitiful. Smoking dope, dropping 2 liter bottles of soda on the curb. Everything is MF, this, that. And these girls talking. It ain't all the boys, like you said. These girls out here, something worse than the boys. But I ain't seen nobody yet come out that school, come across the park, and you look like they got some sense. Clothes off of them, it should be a law against it. Showing their behind. I don't understand it. What's happening in the schoolhouse there? They talking about dress code. They need to get not a dress code, just wear your clothes properly. Put your jeans up, iron them, and wash them. And clean yourself up. We cleaned our tennis the night we was going to school. We washed underwear sometime at night because all you had me was two or three pairs. But we had things to do before we played once we got out of school. You know that.
Yes.
You took care of your one, and then, boys, we had to do the mopping. You boys, you do. Y'all get out of here, but I better see you in front of this house. When school is out, we go to the fairground, we swim the whole pool. But we better be back, like she say, not a minute after, before, we had a problem. And my daddy worked. He worked at GM, had his own construction. But me and my brother, we always worked, had money. And, you know, I love them clothes.
Okay.
The alligators and stuff. Hey, I was sharp down there.
So you was wearing them lizards and them gators.
Right up with Burning Gun, all them good singing boys, and Char Drain, all them boys.
You was wearing them
Finish sharp and the sharpest. You're right.
You was wearing
You know it was Howard Pagan.
You was wearing them cap toes.
That's
and all
right.
That.
Them old Sphinx roll, the bill, them short jackets, pelts and shirts inside. Hey, you know I'm old school. I'm still sharp.
All right.
I'm so clean. I look like Little Rocks.
All right, now. I got to move on. The
boards
are lit up. Have a good day. Ooh, boy, we got a little taste of what the old school was like, so we're going to move on. And like I said, if you don't get called in order, just forgive us because we're having a little problem this morning with our onboard. Good morning, Vashon lady. All right, that person's gone. Byron.
Hi, good morning, Byron.
Good morning, dear.
You know, I was listening to the previous caller. It's impossible to condemn the youth without first condemning those who are over them or those who have stewardship over the nations and over the people. I refuse to condemn the youth without first condemning ourselves, because we're partly responsible for anything that happened in the midst of them, or anything that creeps in the midst of them, or anything that migrates to their hands. The factors that's taking place in the black community have been laid since Ronald Reagan, and I just can't put all this blame on the black people, the black community. Yes, we're partly responsible. Anything put before us, we could overcome. Yes, we know that. You know, but when you look at outsourcing jobs, minimum wage at $5.15 per hour, you know what I'm saying, and then crack scourged the black communities, actually sucked the life out of the black communities and stuff, and the many things that played a role and dismantling the black community, the black family, the black nation. I mean, you got powerful people doing things over these people that we're subject to. We've been subject to many things, and we have our own ways that are somewhat self-destructive, and you put a evil empire or evil people over people that lack knowledge, what do you think's going to happen?
I agree with you that it's not totally on the black man. It's not totally on our community. I agree with that. But I think what many of us, I guess, Byron, is it okay if I ask how old you are?
I'm 43.
Okay, you're 43. So
right.
Even though I'm maybe 9 years older than you, we're kind of in the same generation.
Right.
You know, you might would be my little brother, my younger brother.
Right.
And I think you're exactly right when you say that. Those of us who had the stewardship, and that means, you know, for those who may not understand, that means the parents, the family, the extended family, that we are responsible for what the youth are demonstrating right now. Because, again, we have to set the standard. And I totally agree with you in terms of the devastation of crack cocaine on our community. And that was an intentional devastation came about and was allowed to impact our community. And as a result, because of crack cocaine and because of the incarceration rate as a result of individuals who got caught up in the use of crack and the possession of crack and the selling of crack, have become incarcerated, and when they come back to our community, there is not much left. But
can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Did you know 50% of the black males in prison are there, or probably greater than 51%, because that 51% applies to all nations, but I think probably 60 to 64% of the black males in prison are in prison over harsh economics. So when you factor that in and you see, you know what I'm saying, Bush rising to power, you know what I'm saying, like a pharaoh or something, and then see millions of jobs being outsourced, you know what I'm saying? I mean, this is serious.
And then
you go back to Reagan and the things that Bush father and Reagan did while they was in office. You know what I'm saying? I would rather take a back seat than to sit and then watch these things take place, and then they not be labeled for the evils that they manifested in the land and in the midst of the people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they have to be labeled, and their works must be associated with their name. And to die with honor after you have done the things you've done to my people, you know what I'm saying? This is bibliological. You know what I'm saying? These things have been fulfilled that was written. Many things have been written but have not been said. But I have read things, and I have connected the things I've read to some people that I have seen rise to power. And I refuse to place all of this on the meek and the weak who have fallen under the power of the wicked for the disobedience of our fathers before us. So we're being punished for the deeds of our fathers and our fathers rebelling against the Creator. But I would say those who do that evil are responsible for that evil. And even though the scribes, the media today, the papers today, or the electronic media would never associate these so-called honorable men with their works, I'm going to associate them with their works.
And you should. And I think when our discussion kind of centers around what's going on in our community, and sometimes it's good, Brian. I'm glad you called in because, yeah, we'll talk about it because we're looking at it really from who we see day to day. Okay, but you're absolutely right.
On this note right here, I want to close on this note right here. The struggle have taken on a different face. You know what I'm saying? We're used to barbaric struggles of the past. And different type struggles that we engage in down through slavery. But this struggle right here is less physical and more mental. The laws being passed down to intensify the struggle. So these things that are being grafted in the hands of the wicked, in the hands of the powerful, handed down to the poor, are totally destructive. They are oppressive laws,
Brian,
handed down
Brian,
by oppressors.
So what do we as a people do to deal with that?
You know what? It all comes from within. Whatever strength we can generate from within, whatever movement we can generate from within, whatever, because I refuse to condemn any black leaders or any black people or attack anybody. And I would never be used as a tool to attack my black leaders, because out of that black leadership, somewhere in that black leadership is going to start a movement that energizes the black community. And pave a road for everyone to travel and everyone to follow down. You know what I'm saying? And we've been waiting, and we're getting close to that. And right now it's not the time for anybody to rise up and speak against that. The unity that's emerging in the black community, it's like a child being born. Let it grow.
All right, dear.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, that brother had a lot to say. Some of it I totally agree with. Some of it I did not. Because even though there is hopefully a movement toward unity, there are individuals in our community that are in leadership position that take treasonous positions. And that has been the case throughout history. But I think that all too often, we as community rely too much on our elected leadership to move us forward as a community. There are community groups and community organizations that do a lot, that work a lot with people very close. You know, you hear every Thursday from Jamala, her working with Reginald Clemens, Justice for Reggie, but that's not all that she does. You know, Organization of Black Struggle has been involved in working with people in our community and addressing issues and trying to address concerns from individual people. There are countless individuals who are in our community to address, and I know people would say that's very individual. They're individually addressing the needs of people, but really in struggle quite often, that's what we do. You know, during the Cuban Revolution, one of the things that took place was that they went door to door trying to find out what the needs of the individual was. You know, what did this particular individual need? Education, need jobs, medical care. And we as community must come together to address those needs. And certainly it is what you pull together, the strength from within. Certainly that is needed. But the condemnation of wrong has to be talked about. It also has to be dealt with. And it's not that you're going to do a beat down, because those young men and women, they were reared. And we as community, me as an adult, as a mother, as a member of our community, I'm also accountable for that. And others are accountable for that. We're accountable every time a young person walks before us and there's an opportunity for us to engage in conversation and communicate with that individual, and we, for fear of whatever reason, fail to do so. So we do, as community, have responsibility. And again, as I said earlier, that does not discount the responsibility of the local, state, and federal government in this whole process. And we know that communities are being targeted to be depleted, to be destroyed. And we see in the city of St. Louis the Team 4 plan working through that process. So I'm going to get off my bandwagon and I'm going to go to the phone lines. I'm hoping this is the Vashon lady.
Yes, thank you so much. I know the Beaumont lady didn't do that on purpose.
No,
we love you. That's okay. Anything that man makes, it can go awry. So don't worry about it.
That's right. We're doing it the old-fashioned way today, and then it's a little challenging.
That's okay. We're used to it. I'm like the Roosevelt man. Sometimes we don't know what to call you. We think of you as Irene J. Smith. We know you as Alderwoman Smith. So when we say it, you know, he just couldn't get it together this morning. So I say, what should I say? This morning, listen good, audience. My name is Miss Ray Nagins.
All right.
New Orleans, Louisiana, congratulations to all of you that are in St. Louis living with us. Maybe in the short future you guys will think about going back home. But I was just so happy to hear the results over Sunday. And you did touch on about Miss Catherine Dunham, so I won't say anything about that. But in Thursday's paper last week, page D8, straight A's don't make the grade. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone had read that or not. Muscoota, Illinois, 4 years student Teresa Schmidt, S-C-H-M-I-D-T, straight A student. You know why she can't be valedictorian? She did not take chemistry. She changed all of her courses, Miss Smith, to try and get them because she's a narcolepsy. I might not be pronouncing it right.
Mm-hmm.
Narcolepsy. And she has to take 2 naps per day in school in order to function.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not determination, I'd like to know what it is.
Mm.
Her father is very upset. So those of you that still have Thursday's paper, so that I don't use up all of my 2 minutes, read it for yourself. You might want to comment on it. We go to the school board meetings every Tuesday. Miss Smith is there. Liz Brown is there. Good morning, Percy Green, my classmate. We're there. We voice our opinion. Sometimes we get a little out of order, but what they say, who gets the squeaking wheel? So sometimes you have to get out of one mode and go into another to let people know that we are listening. We're tired of things that's happening in our community. But just like the committee with Liz and Ms. Smith and everybody got us together to go out and vote and do what we did with the vote, to get the school board people in that we felt now if they change, we can still get them out. What Bill Cosby say, I brought you into this world, I'll take you out. We put you on the board and we can take you out. But listen to it the way I'm saying it. We must have people that we feel are qualified. And we must have people that have our kids at heart.
All right.
So this morning, the last thing, congratulations to Bernice King. I had talked to Mr. King over at Annie Malone's on Monday after the first article appeared in the paper, and I wondered why were they moving it.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be because of money. This thing was on the drawing board long before that week that we heard about it. The political powers has something to do with this. They're not just building all those lofts downtown for nothing. We've got to learn to do what is right by our people. Yesterday was beautiful over in Fairgrounds. Everybody should have been there, but I don't know where you would have sat or where you would have stood because even the buses were rerouted. Miss Smith, take care. I'm glad that you're there. We miss Liz. I hope she don't send nobody to jail. But anyway, we love all of you guys.
All right.
Please.
Thank you, dear.
Dunbar alumni, we will be having a meeting within the month of June to get back to our Labor Day weekend. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye. Love you.
Love you, too. We're at the bottom of the hour. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who has jury duty. We'll be back with you after the break.
Will there be a time to love?
For the issues that matter most to you, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
Stay up late as WGNU continues each night to bring you the issues that matter most. Keith Gray from 11 to midnight. The conspiracy hunter, decent guy Don Griffin from midnight until 2 a.m. Morning, day, and night, focusing on the issues that matter most. AM 920 WGNU, issue-driven talk radio.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. I learned at an early age that animals matter to me. That's why I founded Stray Rescue of St. Louis in 1991. I'll share my experiences, let you share your stories, and we'll discuss the issues that matter most to you when it comes to your companion animals. Dogs, cats, you name it. From behavior problems to breed-specific laws, from spaying and neutering your pet to keeping your friends safe and healthy, you'll hear from pet care experts, you'll enjoy our special guests as they share their tales and answer your questions, all on aspects of animal care. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun every week. Join me, Randy Grimm of Stray Rescue of St. Louis, as we share animal tales every Friday at 12 noon, right here on AM 920 WGNU. The station that discusses the issues that matter most to you and your animal companions. Woof.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm Carrie of our show.
And I'm Elaine Adams. Join us here in the ladies' room every Tuesday and Thursday starting May 11th from 4 until 5 p.m. An exclusive format for ladies with challenging, insightful, objective, and thought-provoking topics.
Featured weekly, a diverse segment of the female population, where dialogue is exchanged about issues of immediate concern and topics that could become conversations of the late night. The Ladies' Room. It's time to revive, restore, renew, rejuvenate, and refresh, where there's always something to talk about.
So join us in The Ladies' Room.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
Need to get it off your chest? 314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. The cure for the common cause.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Everything will be alright. When you stay, everything will work out fine. Just have faith. When you pray, when you need a friend, when you need a friend.
All right, that
with BB. One of the things I don't want to neglect to do is, you know, this is May, so the National Merit Winners have been determined throughout the nation, and we are happy to say we have one student at Metro High School that became a National Merit Winner, and that's Marjorie L. Harrington. Marjorie, we just want to send a shout out to you and say we're very proud of you, as well as all the other young people from the different high schools in the metropolitan St. Louis area. I'm going to go to the phone lines. We're all lit up here and try to get these calls in before I say goodbye for the day. Good morning.
Good morning to you, sister. Peace be with you. How are you?
I'm good.
I was really glad to hear your voice over there this morning. I've been listening since a little after 8, the different topics, you know, and comments that people have had. And there's so many things running through my mind, I didn't even think I'd even worry about keeping anything in any kind of chronological order.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it seems that we are a people that haven't come to grips yet with the idea of self-determination.
Mm.
We're still such a dependent people. We're waiting on the system to straighten up our educational system. We're waiting on the man to straighten up our employment situation. We're still waiting on everybody that we feel should be doing these things for us because of, as has been mentioned, political positions or leadership positions or whatever. We haven't come to grips with that concept, and sometimes I wonder, if for the masses of us, it might really be too late. I just wonder. I don't know. I hope it's not. But you also mentioned that the Bilalian woman in the community has to take responsibility as well as the man for the ills that are affecting our society. And that's something I don't hear very often at all. As brothers, we take such hits. I mean, day in and day out. And it's amazing to me that we don't see right on the sidewalks of our communities. I've mentioned it before, maybe a year or so ago on your show, that when you had the show, that I see brothers with their children all the time. Oh, yeah, there's still a lot of them out there doing things that are detrimental to the community. But I see an effort on the part of Bilalian men to be fathers, to be husbands. But I think more focus, more attention should be addressed to the situation of this Bilalian woman.
Hmm.
When you look at this system, I mean, it's hard to find one without one of these dead hair ponytails hanging off the back of her head. Hard to see any black woman nowadays with just black hair. She's tinted, painted, fried, and dyed all over again like we're still back in the 40s or 50s. And consequently, that is a manifestation of her consciousness, or we could argue lack thereof. We have some serious problems. I also thought this morning, remember when it was chic that black people, Bilalian people, would publicly state that we're not all the same. We all have different interests. Just because we're the same color, we have different interests. We have different political aspirations. Instead of finding something to unify ourselves around, the differences and separatism was what was emphasized. We're in some real precarious times right now, and I really believe the worst is yet to come. That is not to suggest that we should diminish any of our efforts, but we are. It's amazing to me while the community is in stress over a lot of these problems. You look at the Islamic community, there's no problem with their educational system. You look at the Jewish community, they educate themselves. This public school system, primarily here in St. Louis, where I can focus on, since they took Vashon from us over on Laclede, it's been constantly downhill. Now, that system worked for us where we could compete in America's workforce, whatever. It worked for us then in light of what they didn't teach us. But we could read, we could count, we could write, we could speak, we had command of the language. It's been downhill since they took Vashon and gave it to Harris over there on the Clede. I was there. I had my freshman year there. We did everything to keep that school. And since then, this was in 1962, We've been waiting on somebody else to straighten this up for us. Of a surety, we've had political...
Hello?
I'm not that... Oh, that's VA Hospital. I know who that is. One of my buddies over there. We've had people of a surety that have sold us, been in positions where they could have affected great change, but they, you know, went for selfish motives and things like that. But even with that, Malcolm told us that the leadership would be at the grassroots.
Mm-hmm.
And we shouldn't be looking to these people in so-called positions.
We cannot.
No, that's
we cannot
not work.
Because
we
they don't.
If it don't come from the grassroots,
it has to come from the grassroots.
And as I mentioned, I hope I'm wrong. I even talked to I can't think of her name. Not so many. I've bumped into her at Aldi's. And I reminded her of that song Marvin Gaye made in 1971. Who's willing to try to save a world that is destined to death? Oh, Jamalo. How could I not remember her name? I bumped into her a few weeks ago in Aldi's and, you know, talked to her about some of these feelings I'm having. And still, what you said about individual conversations, that to me, that's grassroots. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have a podium. You don't have to have a mass audience. Because in that mass audience, you may not touch anyone. I mean, we've got churches on every corner. Even with that, instead of self-determination, people waiting on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a very bad way, consciousness-wise. We're in a very precarious position in this nation. And in trying to adopt so much of this Americana as our own, we got caught up in the mess. We should have maintained some of the basics that we had as people when we didn't have anything, when we didn't have Central Air and Lexus.
I understand. My brother, you sounded...
I could go on and on.
And you sound so weighted when you called, and that's why I really allowed you an opportunity to talk a little longer, because you really sound... I could feel the weight.
Yeah, I'm tired.
I could feel the weight on you. But, brother, I'm going to have to move...
I've been raising kids, so I'm almost through. Maybe I can be a little more involved, more active. But right now, I need a rest. I'm tired because... And I have wanted a better community.
I know.
But still.
But I'm going to move on,
okay,
dear.
Okay, go ahead, baby.
Okay.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay,
appreciate
take care.
It,
okay. Hello.
Good morning, Tristan.
Good morning, brother. You've been hanging for a minute. Like I said, our onboard stuff is jacked.
So. I'm going to give my email address. I would like to be involved in solutions. And I've been communicating with some brothers from the Nation of Islam and from the Hebrew Israelites. And we're going to be forming a group of men, and we're going to be targeting these three corners. And before I go, I want you to elaborate, if you got time, on what they term nuisance houses in our community. But this group of men, we're going to be targeting some of your high-profile street corners where you got drug dealers in open air like they're on a supermarket that was legal. And if I could get my email, I'm looking to recruit some brothers, and I just want them to come forward. And the only weapon I want you to have is a flashlight.
All right. Brother, give your email.
William_Monroe@sbcglobal.net. And we're going to be, that's William_Monroe@sbcglobal.net. And you'll be hearing more about this. I think that we in the community, we can come, we have our own solutions. And what happens to us many times is we wait on others to solve our problems. And usually it's not palatable.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right, brother. We're at another break point, and so I'm going to elaborate on the nuisance houses actually tomorrow, because I want to get through these callers when we come back from the break. So stay tuned.
When you call, he will answer your prayer in despair. I know you'll be right there. Just help me when you pray, when you need a friend, when you need a friend.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for A Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts, and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's a Gardener's Notebook, every Monday at noon.
I was listening to the radio the other day, and I was asking what's the number to listen to Brett Rosen, and they told me 920 AM, WGNU. It's not just regular radio or talk radio. It's head dumping talk radio. Some people call it regular radio. I call it head dumping talk radio. It's right here on AM 920 WGNU from 10 till noon on Thursdays. Right here. What you got to good to eat in there? I like listening to head dumping talk radio. With biscuits and mustard. Right here. On AM 920 WGNU. Alright, Dan.
Who is John Cena?
This is Christopher Gagnon.
This is Paul Heyman.
Hello, this is Jeff Jarrett.
Hi, gang. This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
This is Small Joe.
Hey, this is Batista.
Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle.
Hey, hey, it's the alpha male, Monty Brown.
And this is Brian Sell with a reminder for you to tune in each and every Tuesday at 6:30 for The Stranglehold, the only professional wrestling radio show in St. Louis, Tuesday night, 6:30 here on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson. Join me every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people who are just like you that are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in lives of others. And you're invited to share your thoughts. You know, people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show Wednesday mornings at 10 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss what matters most to you.
Can you still become a hero at work? Yes. Is it still easy? You bet. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner each week and deliver a basket of goodies to the winning workplace. You have to hurry, though. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees and family of WGNU Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNU Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Well, it looks like Six Flags St. Louis is kicking off its best season ever with a 45th anniversary and the largest expansion in park history. And here with us on the phone right now, the one and only Tasmanian Devil, Taz. Taz, you there? Yeah, Taz, it's a pleasure to speak to you, too. That wife's doing great. Listen, we've heard so much about the expansion. Tell us about it. So, you've got the all-new Superman Tower of Power, the Bugs Bunny National Park, and the Justice League superheroes? And it's all part of the 45th anniversary, which has shows, nightly parades, and a laser light show? Wow, that's a lot, considering you've already got some of the world's most amazing rides and family entertainment. Is there anything else? Six Flags is what? Oh, I see. Six Flags is more than a theme park. It's an experience. And get discount tickets at SixFlags.com.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences, with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours a week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Mm-hmm.
everything will work out fine.
Just all right, we're back into our final minutes here for the morning wake-up call, and I'm going to go straight to the phone lines and try to get these last calls in. Good morning.
Good morning, sister.
Good morning. How are you?
Peace and blessing be upon you, counselor. The nice lady is on today. My Beaumont alumni.
How are you?
I'm with you. I'm fine. My grandmother loves you. She's 84, and she's still hanging in there. How's that?
All right. That's a blessing.
Okay. Liz probably is going to get dissed in a day or two because they're not...
Yeah, well, they dissed me in a day.
Right.
I knew too many people.
They're not letting you lawyers on these cases. Uh-uh. They're not letting you lawyers on there.
They had quite a few lawyers that made the panel.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I heard some people talking about the urban problems and so forth, but see... We had a weekend here. Malcolm would have been 81.
That's right.
Friday.
That's right. Friday was Malcolm X's birthday.
Yes, it was. And things wouldn't be this way today if he was still alive. I had the opportunity to talk to Darlene Green this weekend. I talked to her, and I want her to be mayor. I do.
Okay.
I think she'd be a perfect candidate for mayor. But I remember in Beaumont, okay, Muhammad Ali came there and spoke once.
Mm-hmm.
He sure did. Came there and spoke. What I wanted to ask you, though, about the Board of Elections. Now, who decides, you know, when the ballots come out, you know, when you walk into the booth, which name goes where, okay? Like, whose name's at the top, and because the last election, you have to read through that because Peter Down's name was buried in the middle, and people did find it. Mm-hmm. But who decides, you know, whose name is going where?
Depends on when, in the city of St. Louis, depends on when you register.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you file for the election in the state, they have a lottery. The state office holders, they have a lottery. You know, you actually pick, and whichever number is the lowest would be the first.
Oh.
Okay.
So if you ran again for mayor, if you ran, where's your name going to be at? It depends on when you file.
I guess it would depend on when I file.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me get that brother's email address again. William underscore
Monroe.
Okay, William Monroe underscore at sbcglobal.net.
That's right.
Okay, I'm on the case.
All right, dear. Have a good day.
I love you and take care of yourself, all right?
You too, dear.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Sweetie.
Good morning.
Yes.
You're on
How
the
you
air?
Doing, sister?
I'm good. You're on the air.
I was just, it was, the conversation this morning has been wonderful. It's been very enlightening. At the same time, I think one thing that has been missed I won't say missed, but that I haven't heard is, the fact of, as far as our youth are concerned, I think there is a hopelessness there of, I mean, they've seen our ancestors struggle, they've seen our parents struggle and go through, you know, the process, and they've come out and they don't see anything, they don't see any type of progress in their eyesight. And that's where I think it falls into play as far as, you know, not wanting to go and get a job, not wanting to do certain things that would help them.
Do you think that's where the hopelessness comes from?
I believe so, because I have to agree with quite a few of your callers who, gentlemen, we definitely hold responsibility. At the same time, you know, I look at life as a team, and it's a sport, and everyone has to play their position. And some of us aren't going to be entrepreneurs. Some of us are going to be the ones who go to work and work for someone or some company for 30 years and then retire.
Well, you
some
won't,
of us,
these days, you won't be working 30 years.
Yeah, exactly.
You're
you
not
know,
gonna
it's
be
a
working.
Hopelessness there that, all right, if I do this, then what is my end result? Am I guaranteed to be in a certain position? Am I guaranteed to be doing...
Well, let me ask you this. What's the difference? Because when I was coming up, you know, my mom does not have a college education. In fact, she doesn't have, even though she's very well read, she doesn't have a high school education. And my mom, you know, my mother did what she had to do to take care of us. She has, you know, two college graduates and one daughter. Kids that are self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
What happened that we were not discouraged, you know? And I was told, I came up in a generation where people told you, baby, get you an education because that's the one thing that cannot be taken away from you. And it wasn't education to get a job.
Right.
It was education for education's self.
That's right.
And I'm just wondering, is it something more? Because oftentimes many of our children don't even know the history of our struggle. So is it something other than that that gives this hopelessness? Would it have to do with the conditions that exist in our community, that what they see? Do you think that's part of it?
I agree 100%. I believe that, all right, we know that a lot of the entertainment business, those are people who are rappers, singers, they do movies, all the different entertainment, and the influence that they have on our community, because I mean our community, it's a struggle. Like we were talking about the littering. I do not like littering whatsoever, and it's just, it's terrible to come outside your house and paper, you know, trash just right there. And it's just like, it's like I said, just for me, it's, I think our people are just flat out discouraged. And that's where it goes back to me, as far as everybody is put in a certain position. And when people are put in those positions, they are obligated to what they're supposed to do.
I understand. Brother, I want to get this last call before we leave.
Right.
Thank you for calling.
Right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yes, caller, you're going to have the last word.
Good morning. Thank you, Ms. Smith. This is what I have to say as far as what I feel is what causes the condition, okay? I see a lot of people in their 30s and 40s encouraging young people to do wrong. Go ahead and smoke that crack pipe. I've done it. I'm fine. Get a taste of it. I think that a lot of the older people do things to the young people as far as encouraging them to do wrong or not to be right. I did it. I got away with it. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
That's my impression of it. I see a lot of these young brothers out here on the street. They got their kids, and that's fine and dandy. They go to Sally, Susie, whoever's house. But I also noticed that Sally and Susie, who have them kids, give them that check or whatever.
Sister, give us a call tomorrow because we're about to leave the air.
I will.
Thank you for calling in. This has been the Morning Wake-Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. Liz has jury duty. She may or may not be back tomorrow, and if she's not, I'll be with you.